Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 411. I'm Chris Adams, Tekken Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
So, yeah, today we've got some Which Been Playing, a middle segment about spoilers, and your feelings about the Statue of Limitations on them.
I
had to think of the phrase. It's been a while since we talked about it. In the pre-show, I mean, and then the news. So, yeah. What you been playing? I've played a lot of things, so you know.
Those things, Destiny?
I play that game. I'm not going to talk about it, but, like, just mention it. I did play that game, so, you know, whatever. yeah. Okay. Moving on. Let's move on to something better. So, I finally played through the second episode of Walking Dead final season. Whoo, man. I forgot, man. Just why I love it so much. Why I love it so much. Nobody's safe. Stuff goes down. And it's just like, don't expect. Around every corner, it's just like, you don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not going to say what happened in this episode because, man, stuff happened. And it was like, what? And then, just classic Telltale fashion. There's a choice at the end, and it's like lose-lose. And you're just like, I don't know who to choose, but my heart is telling me one way. And it's like, do I follow my heart? It's like, why would I not follow my heart in this situation? It's like, I can't win. Ah. It's great. And then just like, there's a cool, not mini game, but like this thing you do with like the whole weird Telltale Jank style of controlling gameplay in that game, where you like look at the sky and make constellations. And it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. And have a whole conversation with somebody about it. And man, I'm looking forward to playing it on my PS4 because like you kind of like a choice between spending your time with one person or another person. And I chose a certain person because that's how I'm playing it this way. But then I'm like, okay, on PS4, I do it this way. And so it's like, man, that's, yeah. Got me. And just, man, it's just classic Telltale awesomeness of just like, you know, stuff goes down, story, and then characters, and then like emotional moments, action sequence. There was an action sequence. It was great. It's just like, oh, it, man, there's something else that happens too that I don't think they've ever done before where it's like in the episode, there's a time skip. But it's only like 28 days or something, I think, or like 2 weeks. They say 2 weeks, I think. It's like, it's really cool though, because it's like a time lapse. And it's like cool time. The way they do it. It's like something's going to happen, and they're like, all right, let's get ready. And then like, it's like a slow build up at first, because it's like, you and AJ have a conversation every night before you go to bed. And so like, they do that twice. And then after the second time, it's like, it does that like cool like sound noise when like it does time lapse in the movies. And it's like, day night, as like the outside, like, you know, the sun, moon, it's like doing that thing. Mm-hmm. And then like, it's like 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, it's like the tension is rising. It's like, you're like, oh man, something's about to happen. I can feel it. And since what's going to happen? And then it's just like, ah, the climax is just like, whoosh, just, ah, so good. Just magical. Just made me even that much sadder that is like the final season and like, you know, no more Telltale, but whatever. So playing through the third episode soon, and then being ready for the final episode because there's only 4 episodes a season. I'm set. Oh, just that just makes it even more bittersweet. Of like, we didn't even get like a, you know, 5 episode season. We only got 4 episodes. So it's like one more episode, and I'm already there. Final episode, I believe, is in March.
That they had always intended it to be 4 episodes, though.
This is true. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it was originally only 4 episodes.
It was. I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, it's just weird. That's like, we're already there. Already there at the final episode. I'm already there at the end ready. So it was also kind of weird because I hadn't played this one like a while. So it's like, it was a while before the second episode that I played. So I kind of like forgot a bit of like the characterizations of the characters or like stuff, like some of the events of the previous episode. So like the way I was acting towards people, I was like, is this person a jerk? Are they not a jerk? Whatever. A jerk. I'll just do Mass Effect Paragon style and just try to be cool to everybody. Yeah. And yeah, that was weird because I was like, wait a minute, after the fact, but whatever, too late. So I won't forget that. Besides that, I've been playing Gran Turismo Sport. So a slow burn on this game. I've basically just been doing the daily racing thingy for the free car, but I had a breakthrough today where slowly but surely, I was doing all of the driving class thingies for the, like when you first get your license, or not your license, but like, you know, when they let you drive for the first time. Not literally for the first time, but, you know, when you have free reign to like just go wherever and play whatever. I think it's like that from the start because sport is different, so I kind of forgot, whatever. But when they have like all those tests to do to like get this time and you get gold or silver and bronze, blah, 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 and it's like the like main one with like the 50 thingies. So I got gold on all of them. And then not only did I get like one car, I got a secret car that was the safety car and it has flashing safety lights. And I was like, oh man, that's awesome. So that's pretty cool. And it's like a whole like secret car. You can't even buy it. I was like, oh, that's awesome. So that made me feel cool or yeah, happy. And then also it's like gave me incentive and like a wanting to go and gold on all the rest of them. So I went and did the, what was it like the missions, the driving missions or something. There's some other one that's like got a bunch of other challenges too. That's not just like getting fast times. So there's that one. And then there's also the courses, the course mastery. Oh, that's going to take forever though. Cause man, just, I think I'm gonna just going to like bronze them all. And then you get like a booby prize and then, silver and bronze or silver and gold them. But then it looked like you don't actually get anything for those because on the other two there's like a before I unlock them anyway you see like the two cars and like under the where your medals are at and they're like still under the wraps like a car before they unravel it in the game. So I'm like maybe there's no reward, but I'll just do that one last and then like if I get all bronzes and if I don't get anything I'll be like okay I don't need to do this because I didn't get anything for all bronzes blah blah blah. So yeah, and I also recently got to level 40 I believe, and I think 50 isn't the cap, but it's like the last trophy. So it's like 4/5 of the way, 80% there. I'm getting to the level 50. Been playing this game on a very, you know, like I said, slow burn style, like over a year. So it's like, you know, still lots to do and still chipping away. Let's see. Besides that, played Monster Hunter World, yes. There was the fan appreciation event going on. So oh, I jumped that. Been jumping into that every day just to log in and get my tickets so I can get the layered armor. Because I logged in and then I noticed I had like the ones from the last one because I was doing that. But then the fall one, I think I had like one ticket so I didn't have enough to make the armor. Oh, I don't have enough to make the scary armor, but don't need it because it's just layered armor. It doesn't really like, you know, make it more powerful. It just changes aesthetically. Changing. I just want the, like I want the sweet tuxedo, man. I saw that and I was like, oh, it looks so fancy, so I must get that. And then they added a couple new or not events, but quests that I hadn't tried. So I tried Arch-Tempered. What's the giant monster that you're chasing at like the main quest for the thing anyway? The like that Nergigante's eating.
Zora Galakalaka.
Yes, Zora Magdros. So like, there's Arch-Tempered Zora Magdros. It's a weird fight.
That's what I said.
Like the normal one. I failed and I was like, okay, I'll try it later. And then I tried Arch-Tempered Arch-Tempered Zenogeva. Woo, man, they added a bunch of stuff on that one that like completely changes the fight. It's not even the same. I was like, I didn't know what to expect. I was like, this is probably harder. It's harder. And I was like, oh, well, I might have trouble doing this one because it's a 30-minute time limit. And I was like, I might just solo. But I was like, I saw a 30-minute time limit. I was like, probably not. And then I fought it. And I was like, oh, that probably ain't happening for a while. So
it's apparently the hardest one so far. So
yeah, they gave it a little. But you basically start in the second form area, so there's no boulders to drop on it, and it's got a lot of area of effect attacks and just, you know, shenanigans like that. Where like, oh. Couldn't do that before. And you fight it the first time, it's like, oh, it can do that now. When it's empowered, it just, yeah, it goes Super Saiyan and does a lot of ridiculous things, and it's not a fun time. But besides that, I also tried the, oh, I haven't tried it, but there's a giant Great Jarkus that spits out a bunch of jewel thingies. Well, not jewels, but like fray stones to like make the jewels. So definitely want to farm that before it goes away so I can try to get some jewel thingies that I need or don't have. So, because, you know, those are kind of hard to come by for the ones that you're really wanting and, or that you never get. Because I think I had an attack one like early on and I didn't know how the game worked and I didn't dismantle it. I think I might have sold it for money. I did something stupid and then I was like, oh, I didn't know that's how the game worked. And I was like, I didn't know it was a super low drop rate. I'll never get that back. So, yeah,
Oh no, because I think you only get one at the beginning of the game and never again. Never again.
Also 1 year later on Monster Hunter World, I think. So, you know, the evergreen awesomeness of Japanese games.
The desire sensor says no.
All right.
They also gave your Poogie a new outfit, so that was funny. I can't remember what it was now that I think about it. But they also dressed up the gathering hub with a bunch of stuff and fireworks. That was cool, and all the other fun stuff. Oh, the handler has like a ridiculous cat outfit too. So yeah, just a lot of ridiculousness there in Monster Hunter World going on. And I can't wait for the expansion in the fall, which was now, but no, it's not. So gotta wait. Whatever. Let's see, besides that, been playing the game I've been also waiting for, I would say, at the top of my list for this year, as far as like games I knew was going to come out, but before I did, I went back to the past, and I played the original Resident Evil 2 on the GameCube, because I don't have, okay, long story short, I spent like a long time trying to set up my stream setup, and like for some reason my like TV and like PlayStation wouldn't cooperate, and then like my fat PS3 is like not in, it's like it needs to be fixed, and I don't want to like turn it on and break it and like have it die on me, because that would like kill me, because it's a backwards compatible one, and it's just like I didn't want to go through all that. And then it's like I think I was like thinking to myself, wait a minute, I could have just hooked up my flipping other PS3 because I have more than one. And I was like, dang it, take it, why didn't you just do that? Ah, but then I also went and looked at like Digital Foundry's video on like which version is the best to compare them before I did that, so I would know like what's in that one that's not in the other ones. And so I was like, oh well, in GameCube one, it's kind of like, it, besides the cutscenes that aren't as awesome as the Dreamcast version, the best one, because blah 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 blah, you can skip cutscenes, blah blah blah. But then I don't have the stuff to like make it super awesome and smooth and awesome looking, but hey, everything else is fine, so yay. But yeah, I went back and I did Leon A, Claire B, because that's how I did it back in the day. I was like Leon first, then Claire, and then that'll always be my Resident Evil 2 story from like when I go back to like think of like how things went down, because it's just like because I just don't remember the other one as good. The Leon or the Claire A, Leon B thing. So did that to get ready and just play through that. That was a fun time, and just brought back memories of just all the bygone era of survival horror, because it's kind of a dead genre. It's just like 2D shooters and beat 'em ups. You just don't see them very often anymore. And then...
Wait, do you have to play it twice or three times to get the real ending?
I think four times, but you don't... I think you only need to do it twice, but if you do it four times, you get it from both characters' perspective.
Okay. So B story, or B line, is the true ending?
Yes.
And you don't get B until you beat it once. So, like, to get Claire B, do you have to play Claire A?
No. To get Claire B, play Leon A.
So you just finish any A and you get both Bs?
Yes. No. You get the B of the character who you didn't play as.
Okay. I see.
But then on the GameCube version, there's also the arrange mode, which you can just like randomize where everything's placed at, which I would not advise playing unless you just really want to have a not fun time, or just like you really want to like, you know, for whatever reason, confuse yourself and be like, oh, that's not where that key's at. It could be anywhere else because it's randomized. And just be on a wild goose chase on items in the precinct and sewers and... Yeah, that doesn't sound like a fun time to me, unless you're like just, you know, for whatever reason, trying to extend the
people are masochists.
Diary life. Yes, or you're one of those. But yeah, that got me primed and ready for 1998 comes back with a vengeance. Resident Evil 2 remake. Oh my gosh, man, it was great. It was just okay. So I've played through Leon A, Claire B, and the fourth survivor. I've not done Claire A, Leon B. That being said, I don't think there's much of a difference. It's just the character swapped out for that scenario. But playing through it again, it just, man, the whole arc of like Leon, Ada, and like the spy who loved me, secrets I can't tell you, it's like a classic. It's a classic. That's like all I have to say. Like playing this game again, it just like like I said, when I like when I was I started up on standard, which is like the normal difficulty, and there's like a hardcore difficulty, which is like I imagine hard. And then I got stuck because I kept running out of ammo. And then and like they, and this is like a straight up remake. It's not just a remaster. They didn't just like reskin it and then like make the graphics pretty and like everything else is like everything is like in the place that you remember it being. Because after a certain point in the A scenario for Leon, something happens. And I was not ready for that to happen. And then I was just like, oh, well, I can either struggle through it, and that'll take a lot of time, or I can just reset, just completely start over on the lower difficulty, because my time is limited now, and I would like to play this game and get through it and not struggle and suffer. And I've been through enough of that with Destiny. So it's like, you know what? That's like chipping away at my brain every time I think of something like that. It's like, I don't need to have that angst and venom and toxicity like every game I play. And just like, rah! So it's like, I'd like to enjoy this moment and enjoy the time I have this game and not just hate it like I do Disney. So I was like, I should restart. Have it. So I did. And I got through it. And I enjoyed it even. And I was like, yes, this. And it brought me back, like I was saying, like, it made me realize that we have been, there's a word I can't think of, but that of survival horror where it's just like, it's faded away and got into obscurity and just doesn't exist anymore. Like, you don't have to worry about managing ammo or inventory space or all these other elements that, like, playing this game, I was like, wow, I don't know the last time I played a game that I, like, had thought about all these things, I think, except for maybe The Last of Us. And then, like, you know, besides that, it's been a long time, dudes, since, like, I played a game that made me feel all these feelings and, like, think about these things in this way of when I'm playing this game and I'm low on ammo. I have no inventory. It's like, in order to get to like the next save point or item box, I have to go through a certain area and like face certain enemies and like maybe I kill them, maybe I don't. But I don't need to kill them. I could just go around them. But then if I kill them, they're gone. If I don't kill them, they could grab me, do damage, possibly kill me. It's so many bad things that could happen. But it's like, I didn't say the ammo at the end of the day because, you know, the more ammo you have, the better off you are. But it's such a you know trade off, because it's like, if I get ammo, I can defend myself. But if I use all my ammo, I'm out of ammo and I gotta find some. And after I've been through the precinct and the map, and this one's like even better because it marks stuff for you when you've been through somewhere, or it just like stays red when there's stuff to like still find, so you can like know that there's stuff there or what's there, and then be like, oh, there's that there. But then it's like, do I want to go back to that? It's just like, that's the other thing. It's like, I'm a coward and like I scare easily. So like revisiting these games also brought back the horror of just like fear and just, and you can just like watch it on the stream. Just like, I jumped so many times. And then like there was a moment where like nothing happened and I went through a door and I thought I saw something and I jumped and I like laughed at myself. And I was just so tense playing. And like Gamer's tweet was like so accurate when he's like, you know, when you're playing, or like he like finished playing and like he stood up, his like legs were cramped because he didn't walk around. But like, I think that's what it is with like this game, is like you're just so tense and you're just like so just clenched up, and then like you stop playing and then you just like get up and you're like, ooh, ooh man, you feel the survival horror that you just went through. And I just, yeah, it's like I definitely needed to take a break from this game after I did like the A B scenario and then like for Survivor, because I was like, I'm gonna take a break. I've been playing this game a lot this week and it's kind of just, you know, I might be a bit TG virusy and I need to get it out of me and just breathe. Also, it's another thing is like your characters, when you're like, when they're doing stuff, they, man, oh, it's so cool. Cause like, you know, they'll do like little mannerizations and like Leon does this like whole like breathing thing. And he's like, you got this. And like the whole time I'm thinking to myself as I'm playing. So it's like, it's very weird meta-y. And like, I just totally loved it. And I was just like, man, that's how I feel, Leon. That's how I feel. And that's like why I love Leon. Cause it's like, you know, we've been through this. We've been through the muck and we survived Raccoon City and just came out on top. It's great. And we did it again. It's awesome. And it was really cool. And like in this one, like see how they reimagine some of the either the characters or the areas or the scenarios to change it up, because it's like I said, it's like a complete remaster. It's not just like a complete redo of the last game with just prettier graphics and character models and crap. It's also awesome because I haven't played 7 yet. So to me, it's like this is like to me like the best one yet, because it basically, it keeps all the classic survival horror elements, and it doesn't have any of the, like the QTE jank or like the too actiony jank, except for this escape sequence at the end. But it doesn't go too over the top like it does in like 5 and 6, where it just gets like way too actiony. It's like super ridiculous action hero moments. So it just kept it very grounded and survival horror, like it, like the classic RE, man. Like I kept referring to the precinct as the mansion because it kept making me feel like that style of like Resident Evil, not like the modern style. So it's like, and it was creepy, and yeah, and I scared, I like, yeah, so many good scares, and just so good, so good. And yeah, just I give it a very high approval and recommendation if you are a fan of the series or you haven't checked it out in a long time and you're like, oh man, Resident Evil lost its way, it's gone from its abandoned, it's blah 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 blah. It's like, no dude, this one is like a return to the core of like what it was and like what makes it amazing and like what makes it great, even though they change things and like it's not like, you know, the actual like same old Resident Evil 2. It's like good enough. And like it's so similar that like they didn't really change that much. They just basically not dusted it off, but like refined the edges, there we go, of like anything that was like jank and messed up is like not there. And then it's got like all the awesome modern graphics and stuff, so everything looks amazing, like all the cutscenes, oh my gosh, the clicking the screen. I mean, that's also like a double-edged sword when like there's creepy stuff haunting, like stalking you, and you're just like, oh, I'm scared. So also the sound, dude, because it has 3D audio, and that got me. Like that's why I had to restart, is because the thing that happens like kind of partway through the A scenario just like scared the crap out of me, and I was like, I was just like not mentally prepared for it because I didn't know it was in the game. And because basically they do something that's in the second scenario, but they have it in the A scenario. And I was like, why is this here? What? And I was freaking out. And just like, and then I was like sitting in the save room where I thought I was safe because you're safe in the save rooms. But like, because it's 3D audio, you can hear it walking around. You can hear it. And you're like, oh. it just got to me, dude. I was like, nope, game over, man, game over. And just, it was just like, I'm not putting myself through this. I'm restarting on easy so I can just get through the game. And not pee myself. So yeah, why? Resident Evil 2 was amazing, classic, legendary. That has been returned to form, 20 years, and it's back, just as good. I'd say just as good as the Tomb Raider treatment in that reboot, but better. Because I played it and just like I kept playing. Because I played like 8 hours after I played through like the first scenario. I was like, oh man, I gotta get through with Claire to see the second scenario and see how they changed that. I was like, oh man, that's how that changed, oh that's so awesome. And then like after, since I just had played the GameCube version or port of the original, I was like, oh this is so cool to like play it so recently to when I played that and then like see all the changes and like compare it, like all the differences, and just like, oh, it was so good. It was such a great experience I just had. And then yeah, that was a fun time. So Resident Evil 2, really really fun, and there's a lot of like little trinkets in there to unlock or go back and replay for, so there's a lot of that stuff too. Like I was hoping for that too, to have like a lot of secrets and unlockables, and it's all there. So original too, like I said, if you're a fan, check it out because you will not be disappointed.
That's really weird because like every time I hear about Resident Evil games or actually, you know, find the courage to play one, they're always structured very differently than I imagined. Like everyone I've heard talks about the play length of one of the campaigns is like 8-10 hours or so, right?
I'd say 8-ish hours for like the one playthrough, yeah, path.
Yeah, it's like that's way shorter than I thought.
High end, because as you play, like the game like incentivizes you to like try to play faster by having like the way like it ranks you when you get through them as like a higher rank if you get through at a faster time and not saving as much. So it does like try to incentivize you to be like, oh, you thought you're good and you just survived, well do better, not just survive but do it really fast and not saving like very much at all.
Good.
Yeah, it was the original get good game. That's how I felt when I was playing this. I was like, man, this is a throwback, because also like the redesigns on like the like, since it's third person now and not just like the pre-rendered camera or pre whatever camera it was before, like effing when zombies grab you and it just like does this camera like pull, like it pulls it in so close and it just disorients you to like you do not know what is in the room anymore, and like it pans back out and it just like it does like a great, like it's a great refresh on that to like still have it be like relevant and still feel like boxed in and like claustrophobic. Especially when there's like multiple zombies, because you can get like taken down by more than one, which happened when that happened to me the first time. I freaked the F out because I was like, I'm scared of what's happening. I need an adult. And I was like, am I going to survive? I'm going to take like uber damage and just like die in one hit from this, because it's super intense on those close up zombie bites, man. And then like there's a bunch of other enemies that could do it too. And it's just like every time it happened, I freaked out and just like, so intense. It was also a very intense week playing through this. Just like, it's so intense. Just everything up in your face and you're just like, yeah.
Is easy the lowest setting? Like, can you go lower?
You can't go lower than that. It's called assisted. It's not called easy.
Oh, right. That's it. Yeah, I was playing The Evil Within 2 for another thing. I guess they patched in like invincible mode. So I was just like, you know, at first, because the atmosphere is the way it is, like, I still am very tense, but then after a few encounters with enemies, I was like, oh, they can't hurt me. And I also turned on this, you know, insta-kill mode, so you basically kill everything with one hit, no matter what weapon, like with your bare hands, you could do it. And also infinite stamina, so there's like sections where you're supposed to be running away, but it was just like, and you run out of stamina, but then... Yeah, I would recommend, you know, if you're scared of games, like, invincible mode is fine, but don't turn on all of them. Like, if you're gonna do insta-kill mode, don't turn on invincible mode, because it just becomes really ridiculous and pointless. It's like, oh, there's... Your character was like, wow, there's so many out here. And then you just, like, kind of stroll through them, and if one is stupid enough to approach you, you just, like, knife it, and it dies. So...
Anyway. It's funny that you mentioned the atmosphere of the shop, because like on cue when I was streaming that first night, I was like, or not the first night, but when I made it through the precinct the first time and I like got to the next area, I was like, man, this atmosphere is so good, because I was in this like steamy pipe room or something, and I was like, the steam is like walking through here and like the atmosphere or something. I was like, it's just so, I can't remember what I said, but then like at the end of that sequence, like right on cue, it was like, and there's like a jump scare. And it scared the crap out of me. And I was like, dang, I should have saw it coming, because I was just like talking about it. And then like at length. And I was like, I should have saw it coming. And then like it still got me, because I was like, man, this is so good. This atmosphere. Oh, it would be a good place for jump scares. Typical me.
It's funny, because I watched, even though I don't play them myself, sometimes I watch other people playing these scary games, and they're like, they're getting really, really tense before. Like, oh, it's coming. It's like, and I feel like that, you shouldn't do that. You know, that plays into the system. They know you're anticipating, and that's, you know, they play with that expectation. That's how they get you.
Nothing's going to happen.
So instead, you should just be like, very like off, out of sync with the game, and then you won't be scared.
Or you'll be constantly scared, because everything will just keep on surprising you, and it's like, oh crap.
Well, I've tried it, and I guess I ended up more confused. So I'll be really out of sync, and I'll be like walking in the wrong directions all the time, and then the music will play for the jump scare, but the visual was like behind me, and I was just like, oh, whoops. Wait, what happened? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, there's also that
Evil
too.
Within is like, oh, I'm invincible, so it doesn't matter.
It's kind of like that too, where they, since they don't have like the every door has to load screen, like you'll open the door super. I was opening the door super slow, because I was like, I'm effing scared, and then and it's like, because of the audio, it's like you can hear like just like the of the zombie. So it's like, okay, I know one's in here, and then like. Early on when I was playing, I'd get like so freaked out when there's like more than one zombie in the room, because I'd be like, okay, there's one there, and then you hear like another one, and like there's two in here, and like every time it's like I just, like you're changing the same time to call, I would do that the whole time, like I was playing, I'd just like I'd be like, oh man, I'm scared, and just like it would just like building, like get worse and worse and worse, and I'd just like run through the halls of like, oh, zombie, and, like but then like after I got like more attuned to the zombies, I was like, okay, it's just a zombie. Oh, but they make them like super OP in this one, where it's like you can't just like they get up like an RE, like the RE1 remake, so it's like some of them do anyway, so it's like unless their head explodes, some of them, like, they're not dead. And then what I did, because that was killing my ammo, I just started kneecapping them, and it seemed like way less scared and like way less of a threat, And I was like, okay, cool. They're just crawling around, just going like, ah, it's like way less scary to me now. So like, I kind of like solved my own problem with that. Like, oh yeah, well I'm gonna shoot you in the leg, and now you're just gonna crawl around. Ah, ha. So yeah, it was funny. My
That's
favorite thing to do
awesome.
now in the game, one of my favorite things, is just kneecap zombies. Because yeah, after that,
Really?
they're kind of done, and they deserve it.
Did they though?
Yep.
Did they?
If you leave them standing, they can just bite into you, team bite into you, or just
Team
possibly
bite.
take you down to the next tier of health. And like, oh no, I'm in caution. I'm not fine anymore. Oh no, I'm in danger. I could die at any moment. I'm so scared.
Did you play RE7?
I have not played it yet. After
Okay.
playing this, I'm like, I got to go back and play RE7 now, because once that one's super scary, and I think I've got my scariness, not immunity, but like resistance built up, so I can like go into that from this and be like, okay, I'm ready.
Although
Scared
I
to
heard
death
that one is
legs. I've
very.
been through Raccoon City again. I can do this.
I mean, that's what you think. And the next thing you know, next time on the podcast, like, so guys, I had to go shopping for new clothes because a lot of stuff happened. And I want to talk about it.
I'm
I also
like,
haven't
should I
slept
do
in
it in
days.
VR first? Because it's like, if I do it in VR, I know I'm gonna get like scared out, like
Oh,
have the crap
man.
scared out of me. It's gonna be like way too intense. It's like, okay, I played the RE2, but it was not like this. It was not all up, like
No.
literally all up in my face. It's like, let's just do the VR after, because yeah, I don't want to do that to myself. I kept thinking I was like gonna have nightmares too, like playing through this. I was like, oh man, like every night after I was done playing for the night, I was like, please don't have nightmares, please don't have nightmares. So it's like, have not had any nightmares, so thank goodness.
Please don't have nightmares.
Tonight is the night.
Shut up.
Tonight, you.
Awesome.
Are you prone to nightmares, though?
My nightmare
Unfortunately.
was shuffling snow last week.
Where'd you go?
I was like, oh, I have to wake up at 6 a.m. And I did. And then I went out and I shoveled all the snow. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, crap. That was
I have
not
to actually
real.
do
Now I actually have
it.
to do it in a few hours.
Oh, that's funny.
That was
Oh,
not the only
no.
time I woke up from a dream of having accomplished the snow shoveling that night. It was terrible.
Well, it's like, yep, you still have to do it after all of that, so.
In one of them, I woke up like, wait, is this real? And for some reason, I decided to taste the cord on my blinds. And like, it doesn't really taste like anything. So, and they say you can't taste in your dreams, so I don't think this is real. And sure enough, it was not real. Anyways, I actually played a whole bunch of stuff this week, but I don't really remember them because I was not really focused on the games themselves. But one thing that I do remember playing and being super impressed about, and the NDA has been lifted on it, although we're not showing actual like footage that I captured, is Dreams. The Dreams
Dreams.
beta is, you played a little, I played a little bit of the construction, but I mostly went around and like toured through other people's stuff. And it is crazy amazing. I think once this game comes out, because it supports VR, I think a lot of VR headsets are gonna get way more use, because you'll have like infinite amounts of VR stuff to play. Although there is no VR in the
In
beta.
theory.
Yeah, in theory. But who knows? Like the potential, there's like huge potential. Like right now, judging from just like the single player stuff that they've shown at E3 and different conferences, it feels like, okay, this game is gonna, it's gonna be like Little Big Planet. Like, even if it's something else that's built in here, you'll still know that it's from Dreams. But now having played through some of the created stuff, it's like, oh, that may not be the case. Some of this stuff
No,
doesn't
some of
look
the
like
stuff is
Dreams.
very
Yeah, it doesn't look like dreams at all. And some of the stuff is like, I played a few of the horror things. And it was just like, this dreams, will be amazing for making dreams, but like, it is
Or
going to be
nightmares.
pure nightmare fuel. Because you can just make the most, like, the, what was the one I played? I forget what it was called, but it was like, a lady had made clones of herself and just was like really abusive. And they were like basically her slaves, although she insisted that they weren't. But when they misbehaved, like there was one section where like one of them like questioned, was like, why do we have to do what you say? And like she basically sent it out to get disassembled, and like the other clones were like tearing it apart limb from limb as it was still alive, apparently. I was just like, this is gonna be, and the characters themselves look like dolls, which I already find very frightening. And it was just like, this is gonna be, there's gonna be really awful stuff on here. But yeah, it's sort of the usual mix of like, I'm gonna make the opening area of Zelda 64, or
Oh yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
someone like the first thing that I saw before I got into the beta was someone had made PT, the
Yes.
playable teaser in Dreams, and it looks pretty good. The sound is like really faithful to the original demo, and yeah, it, there's a few like, some of the photos and stuff aren't in there, but for the most part, it felt like the PT demo, and I was just like blown away. Like, this is crazy. This is gonna be really insane when it gets out. The tools are just far more.
It's like Little Big Planet on steroids.
Yeah, like this is sort of finishing what Little Big Planet started. This really can be, you can make.
It's likely that that's what Little Big Planet was supposed to be when they first did it, but the limitations of the console wouldn't allow it. So now it's like, well, now you can do anything.
It's just insanely powerful tools, and just some of the just visuals alone of some of this fan-made stuff is just like, I can't believe it. It's gonna be really crazy.
I toyed around with it a little bit when I was playing, but my time is not as free as some people's are. So it's like I couldn't. It's not something where I was like, oh, if I create something, it'll take like years. I'm on like a Square Enix development schedule, so it's like, all right, I finally finished my first project, guys, 10 years later. So,
What was really
yeah.
cool is like, if you've ever worked in 3D on a computer, you can feel, or you can kind of tell, like that's the inspiration for how the tools work and stuff like that. Except somehow with the controller, it is way easier than any 3D modeling tool I've ever used before. Just
You
like,
don't say.
yeah, they figured out a way to do the controls just so well.
Remember I used to like think that if like you would just like plug a controller into anything, it would make it easier. I was like, I think I had like this dream once where like there's like a like a driving column in a car, and I had like a DualShock plugged in. I was like, oh, this is how I drive. But clearly that's not how you drive. But I
No.
was wondering, I was like, could you just like rewire or remap anything to a DualShock and or a controller and make it be easier, or I would do it better? Who knows?
Well, I know personally, like, when you use cruise control on a car, it's all like the little buttons. I can control, I can drive with the buttons a little bit better than with the pedals. I can maintain speeds and like safe distances and stuff a little bit better. Anyways, yeah, like controls are far more intuitive than I thought it would be. And yeah, it's just like little clever things. Like it registers the difference between holding down R2 completely and holding down R2 just a little bit. And that alters like how much influence you have. So for example, like you're trying to move something. If you grab it and hold down R2 completely, then you can move it around very quickly on the screen. But if you need to make small adjustments, then you just hold it down a little bit, and then it just moves a little bit relative to like how much you're moving the controller. And it all, like, this is motion sensor stuff. Like, that's how you're controlling the cursor on the screen, and yet it works really well, and you can make really fine adjustments. And like, they use the touchpad for you to do rotations of items. So you grab it with L2 and then you just sort of swipe around on the touchpad to rotate the object in any direction. And then if you want to just rotate it a little bit, then it's the same. You just, instead of depressing L2 the entire way, you just hold it a little bit and then use the touchpad to rotate it around. There's just like lots of little clever ways that they defined the controls, and it's like, wow, it works really well. After you get used to it, it's like, I've never imagined being able to do this kind of stuff this fast with my hands. So it's, yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for them to announce a release date, and just can't wait to see. I don't know if I will ever make anything just like RPG, but seeing what other people make, like, this is,
yeah,
it's just gonna explode your PlayStation library.
Because I think that was like one of the fun things a little bit playing it, because like, even though I did like try my hand at creating, obviously, again, my time is very limited, so, but seeing what everybody was making was really cool. So it was just like, oh, look what this person did, and look what this guy, he made a shooter, oh, he made this racer in here, and all this other stuff. So it's like, it's cool to see what other people can do, even if I can't do it myself. So
yeah, I think Dreams is going to be much more varied in the stuff that you see. Like, a lot of it was just like, you go in and it's a platformer. But with this, like, there's been a lot of creations aren't even interactive. You just start it and it's like this beautifully rendered, you know, street of Paris. You can make
like paintings and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, this is so cool. Yeah, I think it's just going to show off the PlayStation really well. VR, I think, especially, is going to benefit greatly from having Dreams in the library.
Wait, is Media Molecule still independent?
No,
no.
They did buy them? Oh, okay. I was like, didn't they? I was like, because it would be stupid of them not to, but I was just thinking, like, did they do it or not? So
it is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
I believe that to be so.
It's cool to see what companies can do when you actually give them time and love.
Love.
Instead of taking them under your wing and allowing them to die, Microsoft. You know, it's nice. It's nice.
So beyond that beta, the game I spent... I guess, yeah, the game that I feel like I played the most was something that I saw last year and thought, oh, this is interesting. Something called the Grand Tour game. It's by Amazon Game Studios. And, you know, they've been very quiet. For a while, we heard a bunch about, like, they bought a few studios and there were some people higher ups that were there from other prestigious studios, and then it was just kind of like quiet for a long time. But then I saw this game I was just like searching, I was like, well, what's Amazon Game Studios doing these days? And I saw the Grand Tour game, and I was like, what's that? And I looked, and the pre-order page back then was like, I think it was like $50, and it said, oh, for $50 you get the Grand Tour game plus the season of the Grand Tour on Amazon Prime. And I looked and I guess there was a show on British TV like called Top Gear, where it was like three dudes and they did these sort of car type stuff. The one that always pops into my mind when I think about it is they raced a Cobra helicopter, like attack helicopter against a Dodge Viper. And yeah, so it's just like these sort of car type things, and like, oh, you know, the first time I ever saw a Bugatti Veyron was on that show. And I guess this is like, I think it's the same hosts, except now it's a different show, and I guess it's an Amazon exclusive show. But what caught my interest was that they said that the game was an episodic racing game. And so the episodes of the show would go up every week. And then in the game, you would be able to play that episode. And I was like, oh, that's, I've never seen something like that before. So I decided, I'll check this out once, I don't know, at some point. And eventually, like, when I saw it again, the game was already out. I think it came out the same day as Resident Evil 2. It was $15. And I was like, oh, well, that's way cheaper. That seems far more reasonable. It doesn't come with the season of the show anymore. But I found out that because I have Prime, I get the show anyway. It's like part of Prime Video. So I was like, oh, so it doesn't matter. So I watched the first episode of season 3, and it was basically they went to Detroit and they drove around in 3 muscle cars, just like basically on the street. And it's sort of a peculiar thing, aspect of the show where they make it seem like they just ship these cars to Detroit and then they're just like driving around on the streets at extremely high speeds, and it just seems very slapdash. But you know, it's like, well, I mean, clearly they had permits, right? And they cleared sections of Detroit, or they can't possibly have done it this way. But you know, that's how they make it out. It's like, okay, whatever.
And from what I hear, Detroit is a lawless land, so I mean,
it's, yeah. So I watched the episode and I was like, okay, now I'm gonna go play the game. So I played that same episode in the game, and it turns out that when you play the episode, the game is structured in such a way that you actually watch the episode in the game. So I launched the episode and it basically started the exact same as the TV intro, and then it started doing all the talking parts, and I was like, what is going on? And it turned, like, you basically play the car parts from the show.
It was like, but you still watch the whole episode?
You still watch the whole episode. Although they've added, it's a weird sort of like PS2, you know, early 2000s style thing where at the bottom they have like, you can push L1 or R1 to fast forward through sections of the show that you don't want to watch. And then they play like one of the host's voices, like every time you push the button, and it'll say something like, oh, get a move on, or hurry it up. it's kind of weird. But then, yeah, then you're playing the game, and it was built on, like, Amazon introduced their own game engine, right? Which was basically Crytek. So it's basically Crytek, but so it looks pretty good, but it feels kind of like, maybe really arcadey, less realistic. And it's not, oftentimes it is like just a race against time where, so in the Detroit section, they did like, they were just driving around the streets, and then it switches in the game. It switches to you and you're driving that car down the streets. And it sounds cool, but then it also feels like this would have been cooler if this had been Gran Turismo sports, like car physics and all that, where it was like you would get a real sense of driving this car. Whereas in the Grand Tour, it feels like other not Gran Turismo racing games, essentially. it feels like it lacks some realism. And then there's also other parts where, so for example, in the second episode, there was a section where they were trying to pull a car out of the ocean with a truck. And then you play the truck that's doing the pulling, but it just sort of like jumps in very suddenly to that part of the game. So you're watching them talk about, okay, you know, this is what we need to do. And then it says, get ready. And then
you're just
supposed to,
it.
It's like WarioWare. You have to like figure out what you're supposed to do before the timer runs out. And then I can't do any of the truck pulling parts. I'm just like, I haven't been able to get any medals in those sections. But the episode just continues. It's like, well, you accomplished it. It took you way longer than it should have, but the episode just, you know, the show must go on, and it just like goes through the show. And the show itself, I think, is pretty entertaining. So watching it in the game, like when I played the second episode, I just decided, well, I'm not going to watch it on Amazon. I'm just going to play the game because I don't want to see the same thing twice. I don't have that much time. Yeah, it's like, I don't think I've seen any reviews for it, but if there are reviews for it, I don't think they're probably very high scoring reviews. That being said, I still think it's like, it's pretty cool. Like, the show is pretty fun, and I still like the concept of it, where it's this episodic racing game. My only problem is, I wish it was more real. Because, like, that's what you would want to do. Like, you want to get a feel of these cars. And I don't think you really get that in this one. Although, who knows? Like, this has only been it's only two episodes in. And, like, the first one was about these like, high performance muscle cars, and then the second one though was about 4x4s, like off-road type stuff, because the episode two was about them going to Colombia and just like driving around the wilderness, essentially looking for these wild animals that they're supposed to take pictures of, and there's like photography parts of the game also.
Oh my gosh,
It's weird, but it's actually, I'm enjoying it. I don't think it would rate very highly, but I'm enjoying it. So, this will not be the game that I'm like, oh, it was bad.
Not yet.
Not yet.
One day. One of these days.
We'll get there. The next thing.
Just play Chaos Wars. Just play Chaos Wars.
Maybe. I'll make a mental note. I'll see.
Oh, you could also play Natural Selection. It's a PS4 game. I think it's like super cheap now anyway, so
I think that one's on PlayStation Now.
Oh, even better. You already have that.
Wait,
so
is it Natural Doctrine?
Or Natural Doctrine, sorry. Yeah. Natural Selection. Natural Doctrine. Yes,
I think that
one's awful.
That one's on there.
So yes,
I will check it out someday. No. Well, I guess this wasn't a very good experience. So I was in the Anthem beta over the weekend too.
Oh yes, the wonderful Anthem demo.
The demo was really broken. Like the first, I downloaded it and I thought, okay, it's launched already, right? And so I went in. And the servers weren't up yet. I was like, oh, okay. So I guess it's not out. They gave a date, but they didn't give a time. And so I'm early. And then later I went on their Twitter. I was like, okay, it's launching at noon. And I went on at noon and I was able to get into the sort of middle hub city type thing where you're walking around in first person. And it looked fine. I mean, it's a Frostbite game and they tend to look pretty well, good. And then I walked around and figured out, okay, I'm supposed to go do this thing and do this thing and then, go out into my suit and go fight monsters, I guess. Yeah, I was not paying attention at all to the story. I was like, this is midway.
It's like a power game story. Character jumps on the stick. Get the suit. Do the thing. I'm gonna be cool. What ifs?
Go shopping, you know? Do the huge.
In the town. Doesn't these have names? They're just things and places. Whatever.
It's like, that's NPC number one, NPC number two. All right.
Hey, that looks like Smithy. Hey, Smithy. Oh, it's not a Capcom game. It's not Smithy.
I mean, primarily people were like, before the demo came out, there was a bunch of people on my feed saying, oh, this looks like better than I expected. I might get this. And then like, everyone's like, oh, jumping on board Anthem. I was like, huh, maybe I will check it out too. So I really wanted to see, well, my primary focus was like, can the Colossus Javelin punch? That's what I want to find out.
The important questions.
Yes.
Right.
And I got to the javelins and was like, oh, you don't get to choose. You only get to the first one.
It's not
one.
That you don't get to choose. It's just that the ranger is the default one. But once you get to level 12, you're allowed to unlock a javelin. And then as you go up, you can unlock one of the other ones. But the demo has a level limit. And considering how long it takes you to get into the game and actually play through missions, it's very unlikely that you're going to get to do that.
That is what happened to me. So I launched, and then the first time I launched into an expedition, it just crashed out to the title screen and said, oh, the servers are off. I was like, well, I know that's not true, but I have a pretty good idea what's going on now, so I'll come back later.
It's like, no, Tropical, they're definitely off. Please believe us.
I came back the next day when the news reports were starting to say, oh, it seems to be fine now on PS4. I was like, okay, I'm going to go play Anthem now.
But it wasn't.
It was not. Started the expedition.
I think it actually got worse.
It was a bug, like the official workaround. So what happened was, like, I launched into the expedition. It went to the loading screen. It loaded up to like 95% is what they say. And then it just stayed there forever. And I wasn't, like, I was doing other things. I was in a hurry. So I just, like, let it run. And I was doing other things. And, like, half an hour later, I looked like, it's still loading. That is not probably what it should be.
He's like, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, that seems bad. Oh, as a side note, like, Little Big Planet stuff, like, loaded really slowly. Like, the bigger People's Creations got. Dreams loads very fast. It's amazing. But anyway, so, yeah, the official workaround for this was, get into the infinite loading screen and then jump out of the game. And then when you relaunch the game, it will say, hey, you left in the middle of a game. Do you want to rejoin? And you say yes. And then finally, you're out there in the wilderness. I think it's really funny that comparisons with Destiny, obviously, because it seems like it's going to be that type of game. But they did first person in the tower, quote unquote, and they did third person out in the shooting.
So the other way around.
Yeah. It's like, okay, whatever you can do to be different, right?
But it wasn't different, said the narrator. But it wasn't.
Well, I guess I do prefer the third person, though. I feel like
If Destiny had been third person,
you know, your cool armor and stuff would make more
difference. Yeah, I was about to say, the action figure effect where, like, you're dressing up your character and getting to see them all fancy-smancy. That's when you go back to the tower and you're like, oh, man, peacock time, woo!
That's why, I mean, part of me kind of wish they would have had the option in Destiny to do, like, third person or first person, because, like, some people prefer first person. But for me, like, I was kind of hoping that I could do third person, because it's like, if I dress my character up and go through all this trouble, it's like, I want to at least see them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to... It's like, sure, everybody else can see how awesome I look, but I want to see how awesome I look, too. So
I played some of the game, and yeah, it seems fine. I don't know... I think I'm mostly disappointed because I didn't get to see if the Colossus can punch.
So it doesn't punch so much as it... It's like it like ground pounds. Kind of. Because like each of the javelins apparently have a different type of melee. The ranger has its... Whatever that thing is that it's doing. The knife
Omni-tool.
Thing. Yeah, I was about to say that thing. And then the Colossus kind of punches the ground and creates like a small shockwave around itself. And that's its form of punching. But having actually played it, unlike Tropical Kukrat stuck at the infinite loading screen, because all of the wonderful, horribly broken technical issues that were going on during that weekend, which... Again, this made me cancel my pre-order, by the way, because I was like, I'm not doing this. So once that disaster of a demo weekend happened, it's like, yeah, hard pass on this
demo with no strings attached.
Basically, because yes. It's one of those things that's like, yeah, I understand it's a demo, but at the same time, I'm like, this is kind of a warning sign of, because it's like one the first day when I even tried to get on it, like immediately it was just like, oh, you can't get on the servers because they're full. And I was like, how's that possible? Did they not prepare for this? Did they not understand that people were going to be jumping on this immediately? So then when I came home from work, which was much later in the evening, so I was like, no one can possibly still be up this time. I should be fine. So it's like I logged in and it was just like, it just stuck at the title screen. I was like, okay. And then I closed out the game, reloaded it, and then it like took me to the screen where I could make my pilot or whatever, but then it froze on that. So I had to close, reopen it again, and then this time it told me, it's like, you don't have access to the demo. I was like, what do you mean I don't have access? I was literally just in it. Like, what are you talking about? So then I had to contact EA to have them help me fix the problem before I was actually able to finally get in it the next day. And then I was like, okay. So I'm finally able to play. So I start playing. And then, of course, like Tropical said, you go in expecting that. She's like, oh, I can just choose my javelin and, you know, enjoy my javelin. You all get the default and everyone gets to play as the ranger until it deems necessary for you to unlock the other ones, which you only do one at a time. So it's like, because I had gone into... one expedition I saw, and because everybody were rangers at that point, I was like, okay, so I guess we're all just going to be stuck playing the same character. So this is less fun. So I was doing that, but then like later on, I think it was like on one of the last days, like, or was it? It was like that night or whatever. But then I saw the people playing as like the Stormcaller or whatever the hell the lightning one is called.
It's just
Storm. Sure, whatever. So it was like the magic one. So I was like, wait a minute. How come this guy gets a different javelin? What is this? So I finally finished the mission, and then at the end of it was like, oh, you leveled up. Now you can unlock a javelin. I was like, oh, so you have to actually level up before you're allowed to pick a new javelin. So I picked the Colossus, because everybody else is playing as the Stormcaller one. So I was like, well, I don't want to be that guy. So I'll choose something different. So I chose the Colossus and like, I played around with it. And I mean, it's kind of fun to fly around and do stuff. But at the same time, I was like, I mean, this isn't as exciting as I was hoping.
This is not.
I mean, it does have some fun moments, because it can like deploy a shield or like one of those physical shields in front of it and like kind of be like a battering ram, so you can like run around charging into stuff, which is fun. But it's a lot of the outside world, because you can do free play eventually once you finish the main mission, but a lot of the main world is very empty, so it's like there's really not much for you to do, which I mean, I'm assuming they're going to populate it more once the main game is out. But it's like you kind of just wander around this empty space, kind of gathering plants and stuff if you can find them for materials. And then every so often you'll come across like the natural wildlife or something on the planet. But it's like it's very bare bones, unless you like played one of the missions or played the stronghold thing that they included in the demo. And it's like there were some fun moments, but then there were a lot of not fun moments, because there's a lot of like fake difficulty in the in the game. So it's like they do these moments are similar to Destiny, where it's like they kind of just throw waves and waves and waves of monsters or whatever at you. And unlike Destiny, where you can like kind of like you know, weather because you have your team and everything, it's like some of this stuff is just like it's just built to kind of just screw you over and just, and it's like, well, this is not fun for me. Like I don't enjoy getting like murdered like this. When we have, it's like the whole idea of having a team and being able to, you know, do, you know, fly around in our little suits and whatnot, is to, you know, be able to fly around in our suits and wreck stuff, which again, oh, and also your flight is limited too, so eventually you'll overheat and you'll be like stuck to the ground if you do that. But it's like there's a seam, it's like it has, it's one of those games where it has potential, but the demo did not show it off well. So it's like, it's one of those things, like if I was just going in blind, which I mean, technically I was, and like playing this game based on this demo, I would not be like, oh yeah, I definitely want to get this now. Cause I did not want to get this now after having played the demo. So I was, so there goes that. So it's definitely going to be for me, it's definitely going to be one of those wait until further down the line and they work out whatever kinks they have and add all their expansions or whatever and see, and then jump on board. But I am not getting this on launch because I was just like, it's like you have your FOMO moments, but it's not me spending $60 and being frustrated fun. So I am going to pass on Anthem until later on because I've had my fill of Destiny, and at least that game is working now. I'm not even trying to get involved in a game that's potentially broken before out the gate. And then I'm just like, oh, now I have to wait for the developers to respond to this and to figure out how to fix this and now do this. Now there are no missions and now there's microtransactions for everything, which I think some people were complaining about the microtransactions.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, well, but just, you had my attention, Anthem, and now I know it's a trap.
This is getting worse by the second. So it's like, I'm not doing this. I mean, I saw, you could see some of it a little bit in the demo because they do give you coins.
Like 100 coins.
Yeah, but all the vanity items, at least in the demo, cost 25 coins. Mm. So it's like you can spend them to like hook up one of your javelins, but after that, it's like LOLs, you're purchasing this. So prepare. So I was like, it made me sad because I was like, at first I was like, oh, this is gonna be cool. It's like I finally get my mech suit game because Force Software refuses to make Armored Core, and I was like, this is cool. I'll be able to play, and then we have all these different classes, and everybody gets to do cool stuff. And but alas, it was marred by technical issues, and then. I don't know, man. And also everybody playing the Stormcaller thing I'm assuming that's what's going to end up happening in the main game. Is like everybody's going to kind of gravitate towards one type of javelin. So you'll only see like a different type every so often. And then it's just going to be teams full of lightning summoners. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, it looks cool, but it's like, I'm pretty sure you're going to need some type of variety to properly, you know, do stuff. Because at least like with the Colossus, which I think is built to be the tanky one, because I mean it is gigantic, it's like your abilities are kind of geared towards stuff like that, because like its first support ability is called the Warcry, and it draws the nearby enemies' attention, so they all focus on you, so that kind of gives your team time to do other stuff. But it's like if everybody's playing as the same javelin, you kind of lose those tactical benefits of having the different people around. So I'm going to be interested to see how this goes when it's released next month, because I mean, I'm sure it's going to still be hit with like plenty of praise because of the type of game it is, and you know how this goes. But I can already foresee the social medias all being like, I guess.
All right, well, as long as it's not broken next month, I think I'm still Well, so what I liked about it was, like, you get to use your explosive abilities a lot. Like, Destiny really limits your grenades, for example. And this one was just, like, your grenades recharge super quickly. And your other, like, missile something, I don't know, like, recharges really quickly.
Oh, yeah, that is one of the cool things. Your abilities do charge pretty fast.
So there was a, what you were talking about with the waves and waves of enemies, there was a section where we squad wiped once. And then I was like, okay, you know, whatever, that's fine. We come back. And we ended up stuck, me and another guy were stuck in a tunnel. Like, at the back of a tunnel, nowhere to go behind us, and just, like, all of the waves of enemies that had killed us earlier were at the mouth of the tunnel coming in, shooting at us and all this stuff. And I was just like, what are we supposed to do here? And that's when I found out about the explosives. It's like, oh, you can use these so often. Like, this is nothing like Destiny, where it's just like, oh, you get one grenade every once in a while. This is like, chuck a grenade, shoot a missile. 10 seconds later, chuck a grenade, shoot a missile. And yeah, we were able to kill everything without dying after the other guy realized what I was doing, which was basically running left and right up the walls and jumping around and just like chucking explosives. And he was like, oh yeah, that looks like it's working.
Do
like,
that?
That's what we did.
I can do that.
Yeah. So
that is one of the good aspects, is that yeah, everything charges fairly quickly. So you're not just sitting here like, oh, I'm just stuck shooting everything with my guns because none of my abilities take like an hour to charge.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so that was a cool thing too. I mean, I also like that you can change the supers though, so it's like you can get, well, I mean, in theory anyway, because I didn't like unlock anything extra stuff, but you can change in the equipment menu, you can change the whatever it's called depending on which javelin you have, because I think it's like an orbital launcher or something for the Colossus, and it's got something else for the Ranger. But yeah, so I think so, at least that's kind of cool. It's like, because I mean, you can still do that in Destiny as well, but it's not like tied to your weapons, it's different. So I mean, I'm assuming there's a lot more options in that regard. So, but yeah, I don't know,
was there any loot?
There is, because you get like at the end of the, anytime you finish a mission, like the, after you get your whole experience screen or whatever up, there's like a loot screen where you get like all of the, it'll show you all the guns and equipment and stuff you got from the mission that you finished. So
I never saw this screen.
Oh, Tropical never saw this screen.
I got infinite loading after every mission. I saw loot drop once and it was like, oh, you picked up something. And I was like, great. And then I never saw it again.
Well, during the mission, when it drops, it comes up as like common or uncommon. Like it does the same, a similar thing like with the engrams for Destiny, except that you don't, like, it just automatically decodes at the end of the mission or whatever, or at the end of the expedition that you're doing. So it's not like you have to you have to go to a cryptarch and be like, hey, please decode this crap for me and then tell me that I didn't get anything good out of it. So it's like at the end of the mission, yeah, it'll take you to a screen at the end where it's like just a list of all the guns or equipment and stuff that you got, and then you just take it with you, or you can salvage it, or you could just salvage it for parts right there from the screen. And then go back to base and do it all over again. So there is that. But yes, so you don't have to like decode things, which is nice. But you also still don't technically know what you're getting until the end. But it seems like also that the weapons are kind of interchangeable between the javelins for the most part, except for like any type of specialty things like certain support items or the special weapons, obviously. But for the most part, you can kind of like customize them as necessary for stuff. But
So that's Anthem. And then the last thing I played, or I mostly watched, but I got to play a little bit, was Kingdom Hearts 3. Wow, it's really exciting. Like, so to prepare for this, I was trying to play all the Kingdom Hearts games. Obviously, that did not happen because, of course, it didn't.
just thought it says, did you really think you would do it?
You know, when it was months ago, yeah. But then it was like last Tuesday, and I was like, no, this isn't going to happen.
It is not. It's most certainly not.
But I was browsing the store, and I found that they added a theater mode on the store, a PlayStation store, to Kingdom Hearts 1. So you can watch all of the cutscenes of Kingdom Hearts 1 without playing the game. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I downloaded it, and I watched the whole thing. And then I watched the, there's a Memories archive in Kingdom Hearts 3, which they also uploaded to YouTube, which is supposed to fill you in on the story. But it feels more like they felt there were certain things you needed to know for Kingdom Hearts 3. But on the other hand, they still want you to buy the other games. So it was like, there were important parts of the story that they were just like, oh yeah, what's gonna happen?
This,
like,
happened.
The memory archives are like cliffhangers. I was like, wait, this isn't helpful then. These are commercials for the other games.
Basically, yes.
They tell you a little bit more than the commercials back in the day, but not everything.
Yeah, because I was going to watch them at one point, but then because I watched it for one of the games. I mean, I already know all of them because I played them all, but I was like, this, but I was watching, and I was like, but I was only like half paying attention to it because I was like, this is not a very comprehensive guide to this series. So I was like, this is probably not going to be good for anyone who's just like, oh, I can just watch these and jump into 3 and it'd be fine. And it's like, no, you will not.
You will not. So. Like the first one, it talks about they go on the adventure, and then Sora sees Riku again, but he's not Riku anymore, sort of. And then that's where it ends. It's just like, what? Yeah, I don't feel sorry for them, but I wonder what it's like for people on Xbox One who have never owned a PlayStation.
That's true, because they only have 3. They don't have the compilations like the PS, the PlayStation things does. Man.
Because early on, you're introduced to a lot of people, and they're just like saying people's names, and you're like, who's that?
It gets worse.
You see people's faces, it's like, who's that? And like some of the reactions, he's like, why? I was like, why did he react like that?
It's true. If you don't have a working knowledge of this series going in, it's like, I'm sure you'll have fun playing, but you really won't know what's happening. You'll just be like, oh, I guess this is important. I guess this guy is important too. Oh, I guess. Oh, there's Mickey Mouse. Oh, that's cool. Oh, what do you mean? What's this? What's this place? What's going on? What's he doing? Why is he doing? What's happening? What's going on? I don't understand. Why are they working? It just like escalates. I'm just like, oh. So yeah, it's one of those things.
Where it's
like,
oh, it's not a good thing. This is bad. This is
exactly.
Bad.
Exactly.
Bad things are happening. Darkest timeline.
And the worst part is they start like, because like Tropical said, they sometimes refer to people who aren't even shown too as well when they're like talking about these people, and it's just like, so if you don't already know who these people are or what happened to them previously, you're just going to be like, cool, I'll just file that away, I guess, and hopefully it's important later, because I don't know what that is. So, yeah.
Well, so watching some of this stuff, I realized I think I've only beaten Kingdom Hearts 1.
Oh dear.
Someone beat Kingdom Hearts 2 on my PlayStation back in the day.
But it wasn't you.
It wasn't me. And it turns out I didn't see most of it because there was like a lot of Organization 13 members' faces that I was like, I have never seen that before.
Who are you?
I know less than I thought. And well, I didn't think I knew that much.
Two, not even in two, because like half of them are dead by two because of Chain of Memories. So even if you got to that point, you're still just like,
I was watching footage. One of the scenes has like footage of the boss fights in Kingdom Hearts 2. And I was just like, I don't remember seeing this at all.
This happened? Yes. Yes, it did. And so, it's only made worse by the fact because later on, because there's two organization members that are featured prominently in like two of the worlds, and they're Chain of Memory organization members. So it's like, and they keep making references to Sora forgetting stuff and everything. And it's just like, yeah, if somebody didn't know this, they'd just be like, yeah, I don't. What's happening? I don't understand.
It's really crazy. Well, actually, I guess the thing is, though, luckily the game is pretty fun. I don't know that I can say that about the first game. Because, like, so the levels now are gigantic. They feel like real places now. Whereas before it felt like they're really small, and it was just like, I'm thinking of the Tarzan level. Like, the opening area of the Tarzan level is just a treehouse where you basically can't go anywhere. It's like the inside of an empty hut. Two floors, but you can't reach the second floor. And then there's like a patio, I guess, or the sort of walkway around it. And then there's a walkway that leads down into the forest. And like, that's the entire area. And then there was another room in that world, which was just like, there's like a stone in the middle of it, and then it's circular and it's surrounded by like bamboo trees. And then there's like two pathways out of either side, and that's like the entire area.
It's like, true.
They were tiny.
They were very, yeah, because you were very limited, like, vertically as well, so it's kind of just like a point A to point B type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, so now with the levels being like as large as they are, and like there being mountains and things for you to jump off of and dive into places and stuff, it's like, oh, there's a lot going on. I got lost really in the crazy. Tangled one, because I was like, well, this is, I'm going in circles right now. And then, because I would always go back, and then, because like in that level it has like the signs pointing to where the kingdom is, so I'd always go back and then I'd end up by the sign pointing the opposite direction. I was like, how do I keep doing this? So that was annoying. But
like, I would say layout wise like the levels are more complex than Destiny's. Like, Destiny's sort of open worlds, the planets that you go to are not as complicated as the level designs in Kingdom Hearts 3. Does that seem right? That seems right.
That seems about right.
Because I've only played... So my wife, I guess, was like way more excited about this game than I thought. And,
she's started like, playing. Do you have it?
Yeah. But she's only played... She was the one who beat the second one back in the day. And I don't know if she ever played through the first one. And she definitely didn't play any of the mobile ones. But then she was like, I don't care about the story. I just want to go to the Disney worlds.
Fair enough.
And I was like, okay. Fair enough. And yeah, like, so when people say things that I'm sitting there thinking, what? What are they talking about? Aqua? Like, there's water right there.
Oh, yes, that's the thing, too, because they do make reference to her, and it's like, if you have not played Birth by Sleep or the 0.2 thing, it's like, I don't, where's, what's happening? Who is
like
this person?
Kyrie and Leah are somewhere. It's like, who's Leah?
And Lee is Axel, so that only makes, that's another,
what?
More confusion. It's... There's stuff that happens, and it's just like, oh, I didn't play this game, so I just completely missed that. Because 3D and Birth by Sleep are pretty much like essential playing for if you're going to go into these, into at least these. I mean, the other, what is it?
three games aside from that do have like important notes about them, but you can kind of get by with just like watching the cutscenes and be okay. But it's like a lot of like revelations and stuff happened in, especially in 3D. So it's like, if you didn't play that one, it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand who this is or why this is happening. So yeah,
it's really crazy. Well, what was interesting, so actually, RPG, did you notice the frame rate in this game?
I don't notice frame rate in any games, unfortunately. I don't know if I haven't asked that or not. No.
It was interesting because, like, my wife noticed that it was very jerky. Like, it's not smooth. I was sitting there watching her play, and I was like, oh, wow, this game, like, frame rate is really... it's kind of all over the place. And... she mentioned it also. It's like, huh, that's, she's never noticed frame rate before either. Like, there's that sort of smoothing feature on a lot of TVs now. And she, like, will say, yeah, it looks like a soap opera, and she can't see it. She's like, it doesn't look any different to me. But for this one, for some reason, she's like, yeah, it seems really jerky, and I'm getting sort of dizzy.
Oh my.
And the Digital Foundry analysis today was really like, yeah, like, even people who don't seem sensitive to frame rate seem to notice the frame rate in Kingdom Hearts.
I mean, I guess it's probably more noticeable because there's a lot of times where there's a lot going on screen, so it's easier to, like, see those kinds of things, I guess.
It's not that there's, like, huge drops. It's just, like... it feels unstable. Like, sometimes it's fast and sometimes it's slow. Or, I guess what they said is, like, it's a frame pacing issue. So, like, some frames are held on the screen longer than they should. And, yeah, it just feels really there's a lot of little things. I don't know if it's like the anticipation for this game, but it's like there's a lot of little things that feel like, oh, I just wish this was better. Like, the frame rate thing is one. The cutscenes look amazing, and I think, you know, you would think that they're pre-rendered, but I think they're actually...
they're in engine.
In engine, yeah. And then,
because, I mean, well, I think they do have a pre-rendered one in the middle of, at the beginning of the Toy Story level. But I think that's like a, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's
like
a weird
thing. The beginning cutscene with the chess and stuff. Or, no, when they're playing the theme song. That one is pre-rendered, I think.
Well, that one definitely.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them that, like, seem like they're pre-rendered, but I don't think they are. Until you see the actual game, and then the game is like, oh, there's some effect missing. So, like, the game, even though it's, I think, the same assets and everything, it just doesn't seem as polished as the cutscenes do. And then also, like, there's just, yeah, it's like little nitpicky things, like, oh, you know, the, for example, in the first level, Olympus, Phil yes. doesn't speak. And it's just like, that character not speaking is really strange.
I thought that was weird, because, like, usually that's, like, kind of like one of his character quirks is that, you know, he's always talking and, like, putting Hercules down or whatever. So when he was, like, when the cutscene came with him and Meg and everything, and he's just kind of just there, I was like, okay.
I was like, that's really weird. I think it would have been better if he wasn't there. I mean, that would be less strange than him not saying anything and being there.
Could they not get the voice actor to come back or something? Because that was very odd. Because it's one of those things where it's just like, well, it's like, hi, I guess you're here, but, you know. Bye, I guess. So.
And sometimes, like, it feels like the dialogue doesn't flow very well. It feels very obvious that it's like, oh, they recorded all the lines separately. So it's sort of like the pauses between people responding to other people's comments are, like, a little bit too long. except for Hades, who always seems like it seems very natural.
Well, it's probably because of the actor himself.
Yeah.
But it's like more of like a thing for him.
It's just, there's a lot of little things I feel like, oh, you know, I wish this was better. But yeah, this is it. And it's like, I guess it's not bad, and the levels are way better, and it does look way better. But then again, we skipped an entire, like, this is PS2 to PS4.
Yeah, just about to say,
it's like PS2 stuff.
It's like, it's true. It's like
2 days ago.
It kind of has to look better by comparison, because it's like, well, I think the most recent entry was on like a 3DS. So at this point, it's like, I mean,
like the opening stained glass looks like stained glass now. So much.
Oh yeah, speaking of the engine, is this proprietary or Unreal Engine 4?
It is Unreal 4. Okay. They initially started it with Luminous, but then I guess things were not going so well. So they were like, yeah, we're going to have to use a different engine for this. So they had to use a Unreal 4 to do it. Because I guess if otherwise it would have took even longer.
Another 2 years.
I'm about to say. Longer had they used their own engine, which they only made like one game for, and just like we're done now, not using this engine for anything else, which is sad because it's like the whole point of making that engine was to like make a series of games, and now they're just like, no, we'll use it for one, and that is it. That is all.
So there was one thing that I noticed in Kingdom Hearts 1 that they fixed. So, I guess in Japan, like, their Donald Duck is more of a happier character. Like, every time you see Donald in Japanese stuff, like, he's smiling. Whereas in America, like, we kind of have a sense that Donald Duck is like
a scowl on his face.
Yeah, he's like a quick-to-anger type character.
He is.
But then if you, so when you watch Kingdom Hearts 1 and there'd be a few situations where Donald does, you know, the thing that you expect him to do, but then a lot of the times he's like too happy looking.
Why are you smiling? It's like, hey, I mean, I just have to.
And in this one he's like, oh yeah, look, he's like furrowing his brow, which he should do a lot more, and he does do that a lot more in Kingdom Hearts 3.
At least in the cartoons in America, he was fairly quick-tempered as well, so I think, yeah, it's just more his characterization. I'm not sure why. I mean, maybe Japan just likes happier cartoon animals.
I think they do, because their Crash, I think, is different like that, and then I think Ratchet is like that over there also.
Interesting.
But then, yeah, so
I think there's actually a trope for that, actually, because it's like called American Kirby is Hardcore, because it's like based on the box art for these and stuff, and these characters always being like more like, yeah, I'm ready to fight, than in Japan, yeah, where they're all like happy and eating cake. So
yeah, so Donald is fixed, but now it seems like Mickey is the one who's always, like, they're talking about really serious stuff, but he has this, like, the classic Mickey smile on his face. When they're in that first part where they're in the Dark World, a lot of the section's like, he looks too happy. He's talking about, you know, broken stuff, and he's like, oh, that's no big deal. I'm so happy. I'm Mickey.
I mean, he's kind of, well, that's another thing too for him, though. He's kind of been like that throughout the series, because he's supposed to be the optimistic character outside of Sora, obviously. But every time something goes wrong, everybody's like, yeah, you should probably stop, because things are not going well, guys. Things are not going well at all. But he is the eternal optimist. Despite the fact that every time he tells everybody everything will be all right, it does not be all right. It does not be all right at all.
Yeah, so far, seems pretty cool. Gameplay-wise, like, I really like all of the effects and stuff.
The game is very over the top.
Yeah.
And you do get access to your powers all in the first level. So that means once you start going to the other ones, you can kind of start playing around with different effects and everything. So that's cool. And you can also equip 3 Keyblades at once this time. So you can switch between them on the fly to use different ones. And since they play differently when they do their form changes, it's like you can kind of pick your own balance based on the Keyblade you have available to you and how you want to play. So that's cool.
Oh, I think what was really funny was it starts and the first area, it says Kingdom Hearts 2.9.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait,
what just happened? And then I thought about it, like, oh.
Because this is the prologue to the...
Yeah, I wonder if this was like also planned as a separate thing. And I'm glad they chose not to do that.
Gosh, could you imagine? And then it's just like, oh, great. Another compilation thing right before the like actual thing.
If they had done... they did the 1.5, 2.5 collection for PS4, and then they did the 2.8 collection, and then if they had done, like, the story so far, and that was the only way to get 2.9, like, that would have been awful.
It's like, it's one thing to, like, milk a franchise, but it's like, it's a bit much, guys. It's a bit much. Yeah, because when that first came up, I kind of thought the same thing, too. I was like, wait a minute, 2.9?
So, like, Kingdom Hearts 3 doesn't start until, like, 2 hours in.
Yes. Although still the shortest prologue compared to 2, and it's 6 to 7 hour prologue. So there's that.
It was pretty great, actually. Because I was trying to play through Kingdom Hearts 1 recently, and Kingdom Hearts 2, I remember that part. So, yeah, having Kingdom Hearts 3 start with 2.9 the way it plays is like, that was the most exciting opening to a Kingdom Hearts game I've seen.
Like, I didn't have to do chores or anything.
Yeah, you just, like, you're fighting. You're going through and you're fighting stuff, and you're seeing the characters, and they're... There are a ton of cutscenes. If you don't care about the story, then there's probably too many cutscenes.
Like Xenosaga up in there. Like Xenosaga.
Because I watched my wife play through the entire first part. So she got to the second world, essentially. And then she quit for the night. And then today, I was like, well, I want to see how it runs on a regular PlayStation and also have my own save file. So, because, like, if I watch too much of the game, then I may lose the will to play it myself.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because then it's like, well, I've already seen this. I don't want to play through this now.
So I just decided, you know what? I'll just, like, play up to the point where she got to. And because I had seen the cutscenes, I was like, I'm just going to skip them. And I got through in, like, half the time.
I mean, in all fairness, they're trying to prepare you for everything.
Well, that really does make it seem like Xenosaga.
Well, no, because it's, like, it is a lot of cutscenes. Like, I mean, and yeah, I understand why they did it, but at the same time, it's, like, I kind of just want to play the game. Like, what are you doing? But it's like, there's like, you have this, because part of the problem with the series now is like, there's so many characters now, not even just from the Disney and Square Enix properties, but now their original cast is like bloomed into like dozens. So it's like, now they have to see what has this character been doing in the meantime? What has this character been doing in the meantime? What have they been doing in the meantime?
How many side spin-off games are there, RPG?
There's Kingdom
this
Hearts 3
the
makes
tenth
the 8th
game.
The 8th tech. Eighth well, it's the
we're not game. Counting 1, 2, not and 3. I'm saying, like, how many other games besides those 3?
There is 5.
Okay.
If you count them as spin-offs, I mean, according to Square, they said they're not technically spin-offs, but they definitely are kind of spin-offs. So it's like, you have 358 over 2 days.
They add to the main canon.
Chain of Memories. They do add to the main canon. Some of them less than others. Because, I mean, Recoded was... I mean, I still haven't seen anything very significant mentioning it, aside from the Datascape thing that they mentioned. But it's like, yeah, you can read that in the the in-game codex thing and be fine. But it's like, and then you have Recoded, you have 358 over 2 days, you have Chain of Memories, Birth by Sleep in 3D are the ones that are not the numbered sequels or the numbered titles. So, and then all the compilations and their final mixes. So, yeah. So there are five outside games other than the other three titles. So, and each game introduces more characters. So, yeah. Yeah, which is going to be, that's going to be another thing. Once people play, if people like Tropical say, if people like go into this game, because they already make reference to characters from the mobile games fairly early on, because Axel's one of the characters that was featured prominently in 2 and Chain of Memories, but he's like a main character now. So, and because he had his own like side stuff going on in the games where he was like featured, him being a main character now means also that he's going to bring his whole stuff into the fold, and then it's going to be like, I don't know what's going on here. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes for the Xbox players, because they're going to just be so confused. Because I retweeted somebody who was like joking around about it, because they were like, oh yeah, I'm going into my first Kingdom Hearts. It's like, who the hell is Mickey Mouse? I was like, yeah. It's true. But yeah, it's probably going to be, I actually don't know how long this game is probably going to end up being, but given the nature of the game itself, it's probably going to be very story dense, because it's supposed to be the conclusion to the whole Dark Seeker thing. So it's probably going to be a lot of stuff going on. So it is not going to be a fun time for people who, one, don't like story heavy games, and then two, who already don't know what's going on. So it's going to be like, oh, what's all of this? What's all this then? So that's going to be interesting.
It's going to be cool though, because like there are, I guess there's not really, games aren't really paced this way anymore. Like a lot of story stuff became, they felt like, oh, it needs to be happening in the gameplay. So, like, this is a real kind of, like, Final Fantasy, old Final Fantasy style pacing of a game, where it's like, you do some combat stuff, you get to a thing, and then they talk for a little bit, which is a cutscene, and then you play a little bit more, you fight some other stuff, and then another cutscene, and then it's just like that rhythm of sort of the cutscenes being like this reward for having accomplished whatever it is.
Here's your trophy.
Although it does seem like it's a bit more frequent. Like it used to, Final Fantasy X cutscene probably had fewer cutscenes than this. It's kind of cool though. Even though they don't really make them like this anymore. It's just like, It's still good. It's still fun to watch these really pretty cutscenes.
Although some of the cutscenes are action sequences as well, so that kind of, I guess, like helps with not just people just kind of standing around talking sort of thing. So there's still stuff going on. But now even the battles are cinematic, because there's so much craziness going on when you're playing stuff. And it's like, and no one questions anything. It's like, Disney rides in there? Sure, why not? Throw them all in there.
So. I really love the hidden Mickey thing.
Oh, that's,
well, I don't know if I love it. I like it conceptually. Doing it, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where I'm like, when they first announced it, and then I started doing it in game, I was like, I am going to hate this. Like, I can already foresee I'm going to hate this.
We've given you a phone. It has a camera on it.
It's like, well, that's fun in theory, because it's like, now I'm taking selfies in the middle of battle, which I shouldn't be doing, but it's cool. but it's like, now I have to take pictures of these various Mickey looking things, which all of them are not as obvious as the first couple ones that they show you, because like even in Olympus, there's like one that's like made out of tree branches that are like hanging from a tree on the side of like a cliff. And just like, if I hadn't just happened to be looking around, I was like, oh, is that one of them? And I took a picture of it, and it's like, yo, you found a lucky emblem. I was like, oh god, It's like, this is gonna be awful.
See, even hearing that, like, it sounds so cool to me, because, like, that's a big part of the parks. But so I like it like that, but then I really don't like, it's basically the feather thing in Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
But harder.
Because it's like, now you have to be on the constant lookout for things that might be remotely looking like Mickey Mouse, because you have to be, and you have to, for some of them, it has to be like the right angle too, because there's one in the Toy Story level that's made from disco balls. But if you're looking at it from the side, they're just lined, they're like kind of just like lined up slantedly. Yeah. But if you're like looking at it front on, it looks like the Mickey Mouse head. So it's like, seriously? Seriously, right now, had I not been like standing right in front of this, I wouldn't even thought anything of it. And then it's like, I've never really liked collection side quests to begin with. So, I mean, regardless of which game it would have been in, whether Kingdom Hearts or any other ones, it's like, I don't like them in general. So it's like these things where it's like, I have to do something like, and now they're like hidden in like these weird places or shapes and things. It's like, oh gosh, now I have to be like constantly paranoid that I'm like passing one and not knowing that I'm passing one. And it's just like, this is gonna give me anxiety, and I don't want it. Because there's even like, because like there was one I found on accident, because I was like climbing up one of the buildings in Twilight Town, and I looked down and I was like, wait, those dinner plates are shaped like Mickey Mouse's head. And then of course they were. So nice. I was like, oh, This is fine. This is all fine. Oh gosh. Some of them are obvious, because like in some of the levels, I think they have no choice but to be, because like in the Tangled world, for instance, like most of the level is like outside, so it's only like in rock formations and stuff. So it's like, okay, obviously a Mickey Mouse head looking rock is going to be very obvious. But it's like with some of them where it's just like the dinner plate thing or like the branches, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to. But the problem is taking pictures of them actually is beneficial, not just for getting the secret ending thing, because as you take them, you get prizes for the number that you find. So like taking pictures of them actually get you like better like accessories and stuff that are useful to you. So it's like, oh no. So I have to do this, because I could potentially miss out on something good if I don't. And then it's like, I mean, I do want the secret ending anyway, but it's like, oh gosh, why couldn't you tie this to other things like you did in the previous ones? I would have fought secret bosses and all this stuff for it. I don't care. But it's like, why would you do this to me, Square Enix? Why would you do this to me? I do not like collection quests. I do not. Like, it's like one of my, and the thing is like, even though I don't like them, I'm always compelled to complete them. And I'm just like, it drives me crazy. Like, I don't like them. I just don't like them at all. Cause like, I always do them. And it just drives me crazy. So, cause that's one of the things, like when we were playing Destiny and we had to find all those stupid pieces for the scouts. Yeah. The fragments. And I was like, I have to find them. I have no choice. I have to scour every place for this. And I'm just like, just drives me crazy. Just don't like them. So yeah, so that's happening. As a matter of fact, as we speak, I'm like running through worlds looking for these stupid things, and I'm like, I wonder if I missed any of them somewhere. So at least, I mean, the only bright side is that in the Gummy phone, it does tell you like how many there are per world, and if you and like how missed, so at least you know like generally if you like missed a few or something. But it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't wanna.
The worlds are humongous now.
Exactly. So it's like, if it was like one of the previous games, it's like, okay, this would be easier to find. But now it's like, oh gosh, this could be anywhere. I can't, man. I just can't. Although, based on the way they line up in the photo album, when you look at them, it might be kind of like a clue of where they are. Because it's like, taking pictures of some. Yeah, because it's like because I took pictures of some of them, but then it fills out them on other parts of the album. So it's like, so it may be like, oh, okay, so there must be one in between this one and this one somewhere that I missed. So, I mean, I guess there's at least that, but I don't know, man. I don't want to. I have to. I'm like obligated. So, it's fine. It's fine. It's all fine, guys. It's all fine. I'll just torture myself because I have no choice. But that aside, though, I am glad that the game is finally out. So there's that to be happy about. It's been so many years, like half my life, literally half my life with this series. So it's finally coming to a close. So there's that. But it is a lot of fun to play. So, I mean, the battles are pretty action-packed, and you get to do, like, a lot of different stuff. Because, like, with the situational or situation commands or something like that. I think that's what the official name is. It's like, it's kind of like a combination between 2's reaction commands and the command deck system from 3D and Birth by Sleep. So you can like, so it lets you get these different options in battle where it's like, and since you can, in regard, and you can actually get like multiple ones at once. So you don't necessarily have to worry about, it's like, I lost this one. So then you could just cycle between them and use the ones you want, and then just kind of like keep up these whole, all these kind of like cinematic things going on in the fights and everything. Cause like I did post a video of one where I'm like going from a form change to a team attack to another form change to a amusement park thing. And it's just like, oh, you do all this stuff within a minute of each other. And it's just like, it's all kind of crazy stuff going on. So that's, it's really cool to kind of be able to do all that stuff. And it's a far cry from the first game, obviously. So it's like, if you played the first game and then played this, and it's just like, oh, this is a lot has changed since then. So yeah. I mean, so it's kind of crazy to kind of see all of that having happened over the course of the years that this game has been out. Because even like a lot of the side games had like different battle systems and stuff, because like Chain of Memories had its weird card battle thing, and then like the command deck system from 3D and Birth by Sleep as well, and then like Coded had that weird mechanic where it's like each of the worlds you went to had different gameplay mechanics, which was kind of cool actually, because there was one part where Olympus Coliseum played like a regular turn-based RPG, so you would get like random battles and everything, and you'd have Cloud and Hercules as your party members with Sora and everything. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, it's like so much has happened and changed over the years. So it's kind of cool to get all the crazy stuff combined into one game now, because now you got the flow motion and the reaction commands and all the other stuff going on. So it's really cool to finally get that. So yeah, I am enjoying it so far, and I don't think I've slept much in the past couple of days, but it's cool. It's all fine. So yeah, it's all fine. Because I mean, the first night before it even came out, I couldn't sleep. So that was fantastic, because I had been up since 8 the previous morning, and I was like, well, this is fine. I'll just never sleep again, I guess, because this is my life. So I went to go get gas, and I went in to a convenience store and bought some chips, and it's like, what else can I do right now to pass the time? Because apparently I'm never going to sleep. So yeah. Yeah. Right side, my laundry's done, and I did a little bit of food prep and everything too. It was a pretty productive lack of sleep. So yeah, that was fun. Let's hope it never happens again. So, but yes, Kingdom Hearts 3.
That's amazing. Amazing very, minutes here.
Very happy that I finally have it. So now I have to like somehow make it last forever, because if I don't, well, we all die.
DLC update adds 500 more hidden Mickeys. Yay!
Oh gosh. I would cry. I would like,
just, I don't wanna.
Well, that does that like that also like closes the chapter which had started before the Last Guardian, Final Fantasy 13, blah, blah, blah. Like, all the games are, like, years in development.
Yeah, that's true.
It's, like, it's the last one. It's the last one out the door of, like, that's... years and years and years finally done.
That is true. Because Last Guardian, Final Fantasy 15, I think a Duke Nukem game came out in between. It's like, everything's been released. Everything.
E3 of dreams.
So that's kind of cool. So now all that's left, I guess, is now that Final Fantasy VII remake everybody wants.
Yep.
Because
Shadow Kingdom Hearts
is done. That means it's happening.
And Shadow.
So yeah, so now that Kingdom Hearts 3 is done, that means Final Fantasy VII will likely be getting some type of update coming sometime soon. So people know it does still exist and are like, oh no, it's vaporware. You lied to us, Square Enix. You lied to us.
Yeah, Square Enix gets to move on to their next multi-year development game.
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem is this thing is like Nomura just seems like he's very, it's like he wants to do so much, so he doesn't focus like he should be, and then it's like, well, now this game's gonna take forever because he's like, I want to change the direction we're going with this. I want to change the direction we're going with this. I want to do this instead now. It's like, hey, stop it, stop it. So, yeah.
You know, it's really crazy, like, with Kojima, he actually releases a lot of his stuff. Like, for some reason, Metal Gear has this reputation where it's like, oh, it's always delayed, and you feel like it's never going to come out. And yet, those games all did come out.
They always do. I think part of it is because he has a habit of, like, teasing them.
Yeah, they get announced way too early.
So then people are just like,
it's like, so here's the announced trailer, and it's like super long and cinematic, and you're like, oh, it looks so amazing, and it makes the wait that much longer, and you're just like, oh my gosh.
And in between, they'll do like little nuggets where it's just like, see this thing? See this? Now you have no idea what my game is about. It's like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, but I'm still excited to play it. So that's, I mean, like, that's because that's what, like, everything with Death Stranding, every time something new came out, I was just like, I don't know what this game is, but I want it for some reason. I think I need it. So yeah, it's just weird. So like, by the time the actual game comes out, it's going to be like completely different from whatever anybody thought it was going to be. And just going to be like, huh, this was completely unexpected. This is going to turn out to be like a racing game or something. It's like, huh.
A slow racing game.
A very yes, slow racing game. Because it's like, huh, I did not see that coming. You win. You win, Kojima. You win. So, because yeah, his trailers and teaser are always so just, yeah.
The best.
And the thing is, like, because even with, like, the Metal Gear series, because he would still release, like, those weird, like, commercials or like trailers that obviously had nothing to do with this, the tone or gameplay style of the Metal Gear games, but you're still just like, what's happening right now? Even though you already knew how Metal Gear games play, you're still just like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what this is. What's happening? What's going on? What are you doing? And then next thing you know, there's flaming whale unicorns and people losing arms and stuff. It's just like, this guy's insane. And I love him for it. So yes, keep doing what you're doing, I guess, Kojima. Keep being weird, man. Keep being weird. Because that's the way to be.
Was that the case with Metal Gear Solid 5, though? Because I don't remember getting super hyped for that one.
Well, I don't think... Well, I think during that one was when, like, the stuff about... Yeah. Konami and stuff was coming out during the time, so I think that they were kind of like marred by the controversy and stuff that was going on, because that became kind of like the focus, because everybody's just like, oh yeah, Konami's kind of a douche nugget. So
no. And then there was the thing where they switched the voice actor.
Oh yeah, see, so there's just like a lot of controversy surrounding that one.
So he didn't. There weren't the types of teases that we got previously for other games.
because he was kind of, yeah, so there was a lot of stuff going on. So, yeah. So I think that was the only problem with that one. Had they not ran into that problem, you probably would have got a lot more interesting teasers and stuff for that game before it came out. But you know how the business goes. Companies like to throw over their employees, and then they're just like, LOLs, we still making monies, though. We still making monies. And then Metal Gear Survive happened. So there's that. So that's why you have to get your friend like that Geoff guy, because he keeps you going, I guess. Keeps you going. And protected. But, yeah.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea. It's been a long year. It's been a long year, man. It's been a long year.
Just like your friend Geoff. What?
Yeah, RPG. What else? That's all I've been playing.
That's all you've been playing?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, aside from the Anthem demo, it's like I've pretty much only been playing Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean, I played Dragon Quest briefly earlier, like last week, but then I stopped because it's like too many weird octopus stories and making mermaids fall in love and all this other stuff. And then I was like, yeah, I think I'm just going to take a little break from you, Dragon Quest again. Although, I don't know, that series never really... Like, I played several of the games in the series, but I've never really, like, none of them have ever really hooked me. And it's like, I don't know if it's because of, like, the whole way that the characters talk and everything, because it's like everybody has the weird English-British talk kind of thing going for them. And they use, like, those, the idioms and all that stuff as well, so I'm just like, you know, I don't like hearing you guys talk. But that aside, it's like there's
Quest is British?
I have no idea. Scottish or something. They just have, like, you know that thing where whichever country does the thing with the core blimeys and the governors and all this other stuff, it's like that. So it's just like, it's very, yeah. And then they've also always been very, like, old school in terms of the style of playing everything. So I think it kind of, like, since over so many years, they still haven't really changed much of anything. It kind of just makes you feel like, I don't want to have to go through this thing. It's too classic-y for me. It's too classic-y. And I mean, I don't know, man. I just don't know. So, I mean, eventually I will finish it, but it's just going to be very slow going. And then I saw somebody tweet about the fact that, like, the ending's kind of hidden behind, like, another 20-hour epilogue at the end of the game. Nice. And it's like Dragon Quest games are already long to begin with, but to find out that the actual ending is, like, hidden behind, like, a whole other gameplay section and everything, it's like, I have lost my desire to play through this game, so I will get through it eventually. But it's like, I understand having, like, secret endings and stuff like that, but to have, like, your normal ending, like, and because, like, the person that tweeted about it was saying, like, how the stuff in that ending kind of ties the stuff in the story together and, like, makes a lot of other things make sense. And I was like, well, that's not good. It's like, you shouldn't have, like, your actual ending, like, after the fact. So it's like, I don't know if I want to invest that kind of time in this. And it's like, I've played long games before, so it's like, I would prefer not to, like, have my payoff hidden after having to play through all of them. Because it's like the Trails in the Sky games, for instance, or the Legend of Heroes games, I mean, I should say, are, like, notoriously long. So it's like, if I play 96 hours of that and then they're just like, LOLs, you got another 30 hours of fun times ahead of you after you thought you beat the game. So enjoy. Enjoy. And I'm like, yeah, no. I think I'm just going to make up my own ending in my head. And then, yeah, that is my life now, man. That is my life now. So that kind of like semi turned me off of it. So it's like, now I'm like, okay, I can take my time with this because obviously the payoff isn't going to be until late anyway. So it's like, I have no reason to rush this. So I've been just slow going through that and playing through that, which I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's a fine game. So it's like, it's not like it's a bad game or anything. So I don't have to worry about being like, oh no, this game is terrible and I have to slog through it. Oh my gosh. Kind of situation like I have with other games in the past. So, I mean, at least that's one good thing is like the game's not bad. So I don't have to worry about that particular element, but still, I don't want to. I mean, it's my own fault for because of the type of games I play, but I mean, still. Give me a break, man.
Have you played Dragon Quest 4, 5, or 6 on the DS?
I have played 2 out of the 3 of those. I don't remember which 2, though.
Did you?
Because like there's one with the bride thing, and then there was another one with the other thing. I don't. I don't know.
After
I
played those ones and they're very similar, I was kind of burned out on Dragon Quest. I was like, I think I'm good for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of the problem with the series is that they really haven't.
It's kind of like the same thing with Pokemon for me. It's like the formula is kind of still and it's just the same and not really too much going on there. It's like, yeah, there's a good story. I mean, at least with Dragon Quest, it's like, yeah, there's a good story there that's probably like worth like looking into, but it's like, I will just wait for when I have time for it. So,
Because it's like, it's one of those things like, because I think that's what I like with games or because I like the Dynasty Warrior games, for instance, like I never like played them like all every time they came out. I would just play them like after like multiple iterations of them have come out and then just play the latest one because it's like I'm assuming between like 6 of them like some changes happened because I'm not gonna be playing these things back to back because they're all gonna be like the same thing. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh okay, I can kind of see the difference, but it's like the Dragon Quest games kind of never really do that. So it's like they all play very similarly, but it's like they have different stories and stuff, but it's like do I want to slog through this? And it's like so yeah, they play very much alike, so it's one of those things where I was not like very compelled to keep playing them as they were released. So it's one of those things where you have to play them after like certain amounts of them have happened and hope that they change something significantly enough where it's like, oh okay, this makes sense kind of thing. So usually the ones in the series I actually tend to like are the ones that are the spinoffs because they're different from the main game. So I do like the Dragon Quest
slime.
The slime and the Joker, the monster games. Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay. Cause this plays, they play differently from each other. So that's cool. But again, if there's like sequels of those games, it's like, well, I'm not going to play them because there's a good chance knowing these guys, they did not change much of anything. So you are not about to fool me. You are not about to fool me. So but yeah, so that's happening so far. But I mean, like I said, eventually I will get through it. It just won't be anytime soon. Which reminds me, I do need to finish Trails of Cold Steel 2 before the fall because they did finally announce a release date for episode 3. So yay for another 100-hour RPG coming in the fall. It's fine, guys. I'll just not have free time. But yes, so other than that, Kingdom Hearts 3, guys. Kingdom Hearts 3. It's been a long time coming, and I finally got it. and I'm loving it so far. And we already spent quite a bit of time talking about it, so there's really not much for me to add on to it, except for that I'm excited to see where the story goes and if everybody dies. Square Enix, man. Who hurt you? Who hurt you guys? Who hurt you? Because, like, I don't know, their last string of games, it's just like, oh, okay. Oh, God. Oh, all right. So, yeah, I'm already very concerned. And again, and people like to kind of fault Disney as like children's things, but dear God, all of their stuff is just not. It is not kid friendly if you're an adult, because it's like, oh, I now understand all these things that are happening and all these God, this is, oh no. Because like, I mean, like even having seen like Toy Story 3, and it's like I was actually getting like really misty during that one scene when they all were probably gonna die, and I was like, oh God, are you really doing this to me? Are you really doing this to me right now? So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm concerned, because I don't know if they're going to like kill off all the characters or something crazy. So yay, I guess. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. Because Kingdom Hearts, man. Kingdom Hearts. And then God Eater comes out in a couple of weeks, so I'll have more stuff to play after I work my way through Kingdom Hearts. And they release the epilogue and the secret ending tomorrow, so I should... So I'll actually be able to finish the game. So there's that. There's that.
See everybody enjoying their Resident Evil Kingdom Hearts anthem. Happy second Christmas.
Happy second Christmas.
Yep. That's what it is right now.
Yeah, because these first few months, there's like a bunch of releases. So it's just...
I hear there's also stuff I didn't get, like Ace Combat and whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
Vesperia. Yeah, Tales of Vesperia.
Tales of Vesperia, yeah, because I've seen people tweeting about Ace Combat and everything too, and I was like, all right, there's like so many other things happening. And then February we have Anthem and the aforementioned
March. Oh my gosh, there's so much in March. And don't then cry. Devil May Cry. DMC is back.
We have Sekiro. We have
Sekiro, yes.
There's others.
Also Onimusha remake came out, or remaster
happened as well, yes. We have more obscure games coming out, like Caligula Effect Overdose in March as well. It's
Was looking at the release dates, and apparently Hong Kong Massacre comes out at the beginning of February, and yep. I didn't know that. So looking forward to that. That made my list at E3 when I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy year, because apparently we no longer get breaks. Well, I mean,
summer.
I don't know, man. With our luck, they're gonna be like, so surprise.
PS5's out.
Also, no. Gosh, it's like, also we have 20 launch titles. Like,
that's
like,
why we skipped E3, because we're launching a console. Just like, kidding.
Why, Sony? Why? Who hurt you? Who hurt you, Sony? Why are you doing this to me? So yeah, that would be a mess. Although there's been a lot of rumors, man.
There have been a lot of leaks and hot rumors, and I'm so just like, well, I penciled it in for 2021, but I could be wrong, and it could be earlier. So, guess we'll see. Well,
I already said like 2020. It's more than likely going to happen if it's not going to be like the end of this year. So, I already foresee us getting new generations soon. Not from Nintendo, because the Switch just came out, thankfully. So that at least takes one console out of the equation. But we have Microsoft and Sony to contend with, so there is that. So yeah, yay.
Well, switching gears kind of back to Kingdom Hearts.
Yay!
This week's middle segment I came up with over the break, and I forget what game I was thinking of, but it works perfectly with Kingdom Hearts, actually. So, The question is, should there be a statute of limitation on spoilers?
Oh.
And the reason I bring it up for Kingdom Hearts is, say you really want to play Kingdom Hearts 3, but, like, if you're looking out, the way that sort of games, media, and stuff is these days is that it's always, like, people are always concerned about spoilers. Not the people who are concerned about being spoiled. I mean, they're always concerned. The people who write articles and stuff like that are concerned that they'll spoil games for, especially games, I think, for other people. And so I wonder, should there be a time when it's like enough time has passed and, you know, now it would be useful to tell people some of these things that would have been considered spoilers, so that they can either enjoy, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3, for example, or in other instances, like, say there was something really, I don't know, for, like, let's take Metal Gear Solid 2, like, I don't know who would be really into playing Raiden in that one.
Thank you for spoiling me so I didn't buy this.
Yeah, like, say, for example, they were like, all the original marketing was about Snake. What if they had gone and just, like, spoiled the Raiden thing for people after a certain amount of time and said, like, this is the main character, and, you know, would that bring in other people?
Which is kind of funny, because, I mean, at least with the Raiden thing, that is like a known spoiler now, or like a well-known one now.
Right. But for example, like, people don't really talk about the twist end of BioShock.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't see that generally just out there.
I think that's because endings are like that's like a red line. You can't talk about the ending of a game.
It's like an unspoken rule kind of thing.
Because that is like a category of spoilers that you can't talk about without spoiling something for someone. It's like the ending of something, like the ending of a movie, ending of a TV show, ending of a game, yada yada yada.
I mean, I can see that, but I also feel like that means that if you're trying to convince someone that BioShock is amazing, you can't tell them. You
can't tell them the most amazing part about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess BioShock, the example maybe doesn't work, but I think there are games that the most amazing things in them are what people would consider spoilers.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because since you bring up the BioShock thing, because like for a long time, people would always make reference to the whole "would you kindly" thing, but I hadn't played the game at the time, so for me, I was just like, okay, whatever, crazy people. But and then like I saw it, and then once I was playing it, and I saw them constantly always doing the whole "would you kindly," like I made note that it was happening, but I still didn't know why it was significant until like, you know, you get to the end, it's like, oh, okay. That's kind of cool. I didn't notice it happened so often, but yeah, that's cool kind of thing. So it's like it was technically still kind of spoiled to the degree where people were always making references and memes about it, but I just didn't know why. Because, I mean, the most obvious part about it wasn't there, and I also had no context having not actually played the game yet. So...
Yeah, I guess, like, the original, it wasn't so much, like, should there be a statute of limitations? Like, there kind of is. But it's, like, I guess my question was, should we loosen up about spoilers, essentially?
Don't think we should, because I just am not a fan of spoilers. Like, I just, in general, like, having things, I'm, like, one of those people that like, tries to stay away from them. A, that, and then, okay, there's, like, a bunch of reasons, but, like, so there's that. And then I also don't like when I go to game sites now and they have like turned into like these like guide, like game facts light. It's like how almost to unlock XYZ, how to blah blah blah.
Oh
blah,
yeah. Blah.
It's like, dude, don't tell me this is in the
it's
game.
Like, don't tell me that. Yeah.
Like, that has ruined like so many games lately for me to be like, dude, I would have like preferred to like find out on my own or like not been told I was in the game. Thanks a lot, GameSpot, because I go to GameSpot now because like there's. I don't like it. I'm not going to get into like why I don't get into other sites. They're just the one that like survived and they're on my bookmarks now, and it's like, I probably should stop because they keep spoiling things, but I have Twitter now, so it's like, I don't really need them, so it's like, I think I'm just going to cut them off, but that is just Twitter, though, so annoying.
Stuff, so.
But it's just like, oh, how to unlock this thing, guy to get this thing, it's like, dude, you just ruined that for me in the game, and you just spoiled it, you're an a-hole, I hope you die, and thanks a lot.
It's funny because it's like I recently started watching Parks and Rec because too many people kept telling me to watch it. And there was like an episode where they're doing a marathon on some movie called Death Canoe or something like that. So like one of the characters is live tweeting the movie or whatever. And then the guy's like, whoa, you should put spoiler tags on this. And she's like, who cares? It's been out for 20 years now. So she's like, and he's like, oh, but that still doesn't matter. People care about, or he was like making this whole argument of why people care about the spoilers or whatever. And she just kept doing it right in his face anyway. She's like, yeah, at this point, I don't even care. So she just kept live tweeting the whole thing. And I think like, it's one of those kind of situations where it's like, I semi agree with the whole statute of limitations on certain stuff. Cause it's like, I mean, at a certain point, it's like, okay, if you haven't played something in 20 years, at this point, it's like, you probably weren't really that interested in it to begin with. So it's not that big of a deal if it gets spoiled for you. But if it's like a very recent thing where it's like, okay, something's only been out for like 6 months or something, for instance, it's like, well, it's like you kind of have to be careful because not everybody gets everything day one. And like spoiling things too early is kind of like a very not cool thing to do because it's like, well, I was kind of holding off on buying this, but that doesn't mean I wanted people to tell me everything about it. So thanks a lot, you kind of thing. So, but I think there should be like, we should kind of like loosen up a bit on like how strict we are on certain things. Cause it's like, I mean, yeah, I get that you don't want to be spoiled, but at the same time, it's like, okay, it's been like 10 years, man. Like at this point, you kind of have to just, you know, be spoiled and get over it because sequels probably have happened at this point and other stuff probably happened at this point. And it's like, I mean, it's going to be pretty hard to avoid it it's just going to be very hard to avoid it. So,
I don't think it's hard to avoid if you're trying to avoid them consciously.
Yeah. Well, so here's an example. Like, this is something that they do in movies. Captain America Civil War. The original trailers were, you know, what you expect. It's like Iron Man fighting Captain America and Bucky's in there and, you know, that's what you saw.
All the guys are there.
Maybe 2-3 weeks after the movie was out in theaters, they started having the scene where Spider-Man shows up in the trailers.
For
like the TV spots and stuff. So, you know, you'd think, like, well, they spoiled it themselves that Spider-Man is in the movie. But on the other hand, it's also sort of like, these people haven't come to see the movie. Like, that the commercial is for people who haven't seen the movie yet, right? Maybe those people weren't interested until
they saw the spoiler.
They saw that Spider-Man was in it. And then they're like, oh, now I want to go see that movie because Spider-Man is in it.
I think that actually probably was the case for some people. Cause I mean, like people I worked with, they didn't know about it until like they saw it and just like, oh, that's real cool. It's like, I gotta go see this movie for this now kind of thing. And it's like, for some people, like they're just in it for the enjoyment kind of thing. Like for me, when I saw the movie, like obviously the whole Spider-Man being in there was kind of like a surprise there, but it probably would have been a much more impactful surprise had I not known about it going in. And then you're just like, oh, hey, let me summon Spider-Man to the fight. And it's like, holy crap, Spider-Man's here, guys. But it didn't take away from my enjoyment of the movie knowing he was going to be there. But at the same time, I was anticipating him being there. So I was just like, when are we getting to the Spider-Man part? When are we getting to the Spider-Man part? When are we getting to the Spider-Man part, guys? We're Spider-Man, guys. We're Spider-Man. So it's like, it's one of those things, like if you're excited about something that gets spoiled, then you're just constantly anticipating when it's supposed to happen kind of thing. So it's like, that's one of the bad things about spoilers. Cause it's like, well, now you're like wondering, like, when is this thing going to happen? When is this thing going to happen that they just showed that I was shown? Because like, when is it happening? I know it's going to happen. Why is it not happening now? What's going on? Somebody let it happen. So,
and I guess what I'm saying is, like, is it worth that happening to you, for example, in exchange for someone who wouldn't have seen the movie at all is now interested in the movie because they know this one thing? Like, no, in games, for example, like, would it be like Journey?
Alien Scarf Monster game?
Yes, Alien Scarf Monster game. It's a different experience if you know that there's other people in the game. But if you didn't know that...
Was that supposed to be, like, not known kind of thing, or...?
It was... I watched a bunch of people play it who had no idea that that would happen.
Oh, I guess that was already spoiled for me when I finally played it then, because I knew that was a thing. Oh, yeah. Mostly because you guys had talked about it on the podcast, so I mean, probably. There was that. But I didn't... But it's like, it never seemed like something that was supposed to be a spoiler to me, so I mean, I guess that also kind of affected it as well, because I was like, well, I didn't know it was supposed to be a big deal, so for me, I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, but like, if you had to sell Journey entirely on
Alien Scarf Monsters,
you walking through the desert, like, that's a lot harder than trying to sell someone on it by saying, oh, it's like there's a really innovative sort of multiplayer matchmaking type component to it.
Although when I played, it didn't happen that often, but it's probably because I played so late in the game that everybody was just like, yeah, we already played Journey, you're late to the party, RPG, thanks, please come again. So there's also that. But so I had to make, and I mean, for me, it's like, for that game at least, I had to make up my own narrative more or less, so I mean, I don't,
everyone did, they just were not as outlandish.
What do you mean outlandish? It's like right, like it's like right there. It's like right there. I just don't understand how you guys don't see it. Like, it's like you could see the giant dragon scarf monster thing. So it's like clearly it's like people are trying to eat them and everything. And it's just like this whole thing. It's a whole thing. I don't understand how you didn't see it. I don't understand how you didn't see it. But it's cool. It's cool. Somebody has to be the quote unquote crazy one. So. It's fine.
So, like, if game companies did the thing that they did with Civil War, would you be okay with that?
It depends, because it's like, if it's like I said, if it's some one of those things where it's like something that's supposed to be a significant surprise, but it's like kind of like, holy crap, why is this a thing? And it's like, I think there's actually a trope for that as well. I think it's called only here for the Godzilla kind of thing. It's like where you basically go into something specifically for that thing. So it's like you wouldn't have cared before until you like knew that it was there. So, I mean, in some regards, like I would be okay with it happening, but it still would have to be like sometime after the game. Like, for instance, like once you, like a majority of your sales are gone, and it's like, okay, so most of the people who were already interested likely already got to this quote-unquote spoiler thing in there, so it's like it's okay to spoil it for people to get them interested in our game. So I can kind of see that happening as being like an okay thing to do, long as it's like sometime after the fact, because like you said, like with the Spider-Man thing, it happened after the movie, or well, I mean, I think one of their trailers actually showed it before the movie came out, but like they started like featuring it more prominently in commercials, uh-huh, like after the movie had happened. So I mean, at that point, most of the people that wanted to see it had already saw it, obviously, because it's like movie made quite a bunch of money on its opening weekend. So it's like, okay, so most people who've seen this want to see it. So now we have to get the people who haven't seen it incentive to see it. And it's like, hey guys, Spider-Man's in this, because you know that deal we had to work out with Sony, because otherwise they would have been stuck with our property and making garbage movies with it. We got him. We got him, guys. He's here. So it's like, so it's like in that regards, I kind of understand like them doing stuff. Or sometimes, I mean, even if they just want to do it for shock value, because it's like, oh my gosh, I have to see what happens next kind of situation. Kind of like, as a matter of fact, since you brought up Kingdom Hearts, the whole Aqua thing, because one of the trailers kind of featured her Which kind of like the whole fandom kind of went into a tizzy after that one. And it's one of those things like you in the back of your mind, like as a fan, you probably were semi expecting it, but at the same time, you kind of wanted to hold out hope until Square Enix is being Square Enix and are like, LOL, there is no hope. And then they do stuff like that. And it's like, holy crap. So now I have to play because I have to save her. I can't let this go down like this. So then it's like, it's like that technically, I guess would count as a spoiler in regards to her fate kind of thing, but at the same time, it kind of still made it didn't for me. It's like now I'm just like, okay, when am I going to get to save her now? Because I need to do this. I have to do it. I have to do it for everything, for love, for life, all the things. So it's like in that regard, I mean. I was kind of okay with that spoiler happening because it's like it kind of made me anticipate the game more. I mean, if that was even possible, but I was like, holy crap, stuff is really going down in this game. So like if they spoil something like that this early on, then who knows what else is going to happen in this game. So I guess it kind of depends maybe, unless it's like, I guess in like if it's like a twist to like a movie or something where it's like probably like a really like important twist, like for the whole what's the movie Split, that one. I was like, what's the name of that movie? Split, for that, because I mean the twist for that one was kind of like a big deal kind of thing when they did it. But a lot of people did like at least kind of hide it when they were reporting on it, and they were just like, oh, the twist ending of this explained kind of thing, and they were just like, oh, by the way, this is in this universe, guys, enjoy the fact that we just spoiled this big twist ending for you kind of thing. So it's like, if it's not like something that's like that kind of significant, then it's kind of okay. But I don't know, it's one of those things that's kind of hard to because it's like some things, I guess, are more significant spoilers than others. And then, like you said, like for some people, it kind of gives them incentive to see or do or, you know, certain things because they may not have been interested before. So it's like now this thing has kind of made them like, oh, okay, this seems like this might be cool. So
like the twist of Split, I'm interested in all movies, but I had not watched Split, and I didn't really have the sort of, you know, major desire to see it until I knew that thing about Split. So like I'm here for Godzilla in that situation.
He was there for the Godzilla guys. Yeah, because I mean, I think that's kind of like, I mean, for that movie too, I think it was kind of the same for me. I mean, I still haven't seen it yet, but it's like, I was not interested in seeing it like at all until like they mentioned that, because I was like, oh, okay, because then now that Glass is out, I was like, okay, so I can probably see like both of them, yeah. And then it's like, oh, okay, this makes sense, because you know. I know this is a thing, so I can just kind of see how everything ties together and everything. Because, yeah, I was not particularly interested in Split because I was slightly interested because it's like I like thrillers and horror movies and stuff like that. But it kind of seemed like not, it just seemed like semi-generic based on the trailer. So I was just like, I don't necessarily need to see this kind of thing. But then knowing like the twist at the end, I was like, oh, okay. So then there might be a larger universe and stuff going on here. So it's like, okay, it might be worth watching and seeing stuff. So,
I mean, I guess the situation I'm talking about is not necessarily, you know, major publications not involved in the production of the game going out there and saying, okay, we're going to start spoiling this thing piece by piece so that we can get the maximum audience on it. I'm more thinking probably like the people who made it are the ones quote unquote spoiling it to get more of an audience. Tekken, you would not be in favor of this at all?
No, I would not, because that's one of the reasons I stopped following Telltale on Twitter, is because they kept spoiling stuff about Walking Dead second season when I was following them on Twitter. And it's like, for some episodes come out, they like super sparely hint at stuff. And it's like, okay, this is like way too much information I would like to know about this thing before I do this thing, because I would just want to just go in completely blind and pure and have an experience and not have it be all tainted by, hey Dagan, did you see that tweet? We went through some spoilers. You like some spoilers? Like, no, I didn't tell Dale, and I'm not following you anymore.
Not spoilers.
It's funny because I have the same thing with the whole Split thing, but I didn't like see any articles or whatever about it. I just saw the trailer for Glass and I was like, oh, I had no idea these are related. Now I want to watch Split now because I want to watch both of them and then see how it ties together.
I have it make sense. Yeah.
But you would not be in favor of that in games?
No. What are you talking about? No. I also hate it every time there's like a superhero thing with like a trailer that Marvel does and there's like a thing at the end. It's like they shouldn't have did that. It's like the thing with like Spider-Man at the end of the Civil War trailer that really annoyed me. They did a bunch of other stuff like that. And like a bunch of trailers. I can't remember what it is right now, but like I remember specific examples and it's just like... Yeah.
Yeah, I actually stopped watching their trailers because of that. Because I was like, what if they spoil something significant? Because like I hadn't seen any of the Infinity War trailers before I went to see the movie. Mm-hmm. So that was actually
I'm actively avoiding all in-game information.
Yeah, so that was like pretty cool to kind of just go in there blind and like I didn't have the ending or anything spoiled for me, so everything was pretty much just like, all right. This is all fresh. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen here, but all right, we're doing this. So,
I guess when it's like the people who made it, I sort of assume, like I watched all the trailers for all of those things. And I guess like the movies were still enjoyable, even though, I mean, I'm sure your experience was probably like everything was a surprise, and my experience was more like that was cool, and not necessarily everything was a surprise. And I don't know that was necessarily a significantly worse way to see it.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just different for different people, though, because because it even goes back to like how each of us games, because like when you play games, it's probably like for different reasons than I play my games. And it's like a lot of times, even like when you describe the games that you're playing and you talk about how like you like these technical things or whatever it is that you do when you talk about stuff, and I'm like, yeah, sure. Sounds cool, bro. But it's like those, like, it's like it's one of those things. Like you, like it's the same way. If you were watching a movie, like for me watching a movie, it's like, yeah, I like those little surprises where I'm just like, oh, this is cool. But you like to be entertained. So it's like for you, spoilers aren't really like, they don't seem to be like really a thing. So much as like, okay, cool, this is the thing that's happening. So it's like, now I just know about it earlier than I would have before in the first place. So, but that's not going to mean I'm not going to enjoy this. So I'm still going to. And it's like, you kind of just, that I think that's just kind of the person you are. It's like you're still entertained and you were kind of just going into it for the entertainment to begin with. So it's not like really, it's not technically actually even a spoiler for you in the way that it is for somebody else, kind of thing. If that makes sense.
Yes, I think so. So the question is, who is right? should as a culture, we be like less, should we loosen up a bit so that more people can enjoy these things? And by that I mean the sort of get the people in who are looking for Spider-Man or they're there for Godzilla, like tell them that this is there, so you should also watch this thing.
Like
you should also play this thing.
I am okay with it if it's like, I mean, in games, I'm okay with it if it's like, say, if they're releasing like a game of the year edition of something, because that means at this point, it's like they probably added a bunch of stuff to it. So it's like, okay, we need new people. Because I mean, your fans are already going to buy whatever it is you're selling, because it's like that's kind of how, you know, sequels and stuff work. But you want to get somebody else into it, it's like, well, we have to give them a reason to think our stuff is cool. Like, we have to, like, you know, do that. Like, here's that Spider-Man, here's something that you're excited about, so you're like, okay, I am on board with this. And it's like, it's been long enough for that everybody else who has already wanted to, like I said, it's like there's a thing where it's like at a certain point, everybody who's wanted to see or play something has likely played it if they definitely were excited about it and wanted to do it. So it's like, as long as you allow like a little bit of time after that for people to do so, I feel like it's okay to spoil certain aspects to get people to buy or watch or play your product. But again, I guess like it just kind of depends, I guess, on to the degree of which you're doing so. So
I guess in that case, that does bring us to the original question, or a question we asked long ago, so revisited: how long should the statute of limitation be given this type of scenario? Because like movies, I think they have a shorter sort of like theater box office time, right? So 3 weeks in, that's a long time
for movies. Because that's what I was saying, like, for a movie, I feel like after like a month, at that point, it's like I said, people who were excited to see it probably have already gone to go see it. So at that point, and it's like, if you already know that your movie is about to leave theaters, or if you're trying to sell like the Blu-rays or that kind of thing, then you're going to want to give them a reason to, you know, do that. So at that point, I feel like it should be okay.
Yeah, like movies, it's a totally different thing. Shorter box office, shorter time commitment to actually see the movie. Generally cheaper to see a movie than buy a game.
Also that.
People don't tend to have theater backlogs, because once it's out of theaters, they can't go see it at the theater.
I mean, I guess you can buy a bunch of Blu-rays or DVDs or something and then be like, oh, I still haven't watched this yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Tekken, what do you think?
I don't think there are a statute of limitations on spoilers, and they shouldn't be discussed.
So never.
Yes.
People who aren't interested in just the basic level surface marketing should just never.
They should just go on with their boring life, having not experienced something awesome, because they weren't up to checking something out that they didn't like enough about on the surface level.
There is no sticking toes in the water here. Everyone's got to jump in. And if you're not going to jump in, then whatever.
Whether it's full of sharks or not, you're going in.
I mean, there is still stuff in Mass Effect 3 I have not talked about on the podcast, because I don't want to spoil it. Just saying.
Yes. Have you been... as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, like, there's been things I've even told you was okay to spoil, and then you'd be like, nope, I'm not saying what it is. Not doing it. Because it's like, I know there's some games that you guys talk about that I am technically interested in, but I just don't buy day one kind of thing. But then, and even when I give you the okay to spoil it, sometimes you're just like, nope, nope, not going to do it. I'm going to do it. I refuse. 2 minutes. Nope. Nope. So I was like, fine. Fine. Fine.
I'm trying to think of like an example. It's like getting to the end of, I guess, if Wolf of Among Us season 2 ever came out, and then like, you know, the, like some sort of like, you never know who the perpetrator was that did it, and it's like, oh man, you could, like, you know, it's like never saying who did it. Same thing with season 1, because I don't think we ever said who did it in season 1. Maybe we did, whatever. But yeah,
I don't think we did it on the air.
I don't think we did. Yeah,
it's like, you know, stuff like that, endings, who lives, who dies. Twists, or like what the twist is anyway. even though I don't even like the hint that there's a Twister, like there's, I usually go to like my go to stuff goes down or stuff happens. So it's like, you know, tip someone off that there might be a Twister or something.
I mean, for me, like, I'm okay with knowing there's a twist. I mean, as long as I don't know what the twist is, it doesn't really matter if I know it exists, because I still don't know what it is. So I'll still be just as surprised regardless, because I'm like, well, I know a twist is happening, but I just don't know when or what it is. But it's cool. It's cool when it does. I'll know because it's a twist. So
I'm wondering, like, maybe perhaps loosening up on spoilers maybe isn't like, oh, just like becoming really loose lip. It's more about deciding which things actually are spoilers.
Also that, yeah.
It's not just like everything past the opening or past what's in the trailers is a spoiler. You know, like knowing that Spider-Man is in Civil War, is that enough? Is that enough for you?
Because, like, you really don't have context or anything for why he's there or what is the extent of his involvement is in the movie either. So it's, yeah, like,
or not even that deep. It's just like, what's he going to do? What's it going to look like? You know, like, you don't get any of that. It's just like, oh, Spider-Man's in the movie.
He's there.
That's a spoiler. Yeah. Or is it? Like, maybe it's not a spoiler. Maybe it's just like, that's a cool thing. And now you get to be excited that Spider-Man is in the movie. You know, so, like, the ending of Wolf Among Us, or, like, the culprit, whodunit, like, it's a whodunit story. If you tell people whodunit, then maybe that is actually a spoiler. But, you know, saying that you meet, and I don't even remember their names anymore, but you
characters. I was trying to think of stuff. I was like,
yeah,
wait a minute.
It's like, it's like certain fairy tale characters appear in this. And if you're a big fan of that particular character, then it's like, oh, I want to see this version of that character.
And then even with the Wolf Among Us, because, like, some of them, it was one of the cool things, because even, like, knowing that it was about fairy tale characters is, like, the way they showed up is, like, related to their fairy tale, but it's not necessarily, like, kid friendly versions of their stuff.
It's like, if you went around, I don't think it was in the trailers, but if you, I imagine, like, if you told people, like, this is how the Little Mermaid shows up in this series, then some people would be like, ooh, I want to see that. Maybe that is not a spoiler then.
Yeah, because I mean, like, with The Wolf Among Us, like, yeah, I would have been cool with people telling me who shows up in it or whatever, but it's like, because as long as you don't tell me, like, because I mean, it, like you said, it is a whodunit thing, so, like, as long as you don't tell me whodunit, because I'm, like, trying to investigate myself, kind of, it's like, then, it's like, it's cool, because it's like, yeah, I'm going to meet these people anyway, so it's not a big deal. And it's like, I've read a lot of fairy tales growing up, and, you know, being a Disney fan, I've also seen them retold various ways. So it's like, it's cool to see them in this different form, and it's all dark and gritty. And it's like, this person is now possibly a stripper because it's semi-related to their fairy tale in a very dark way kind of thing. So it's like, so yeah, for me, I think it just kind of depends on the extent, I guess, of it. As long as it's not like an ending, I'm okay with it. But again, like, for stuff where it's like, I've had plenty of opportunities, and it's like, it's kind of just my own fault for having not indulged in it at this point, then it's like, okay, I deserve to be spoiled, because, like, now I've had, like, 3 years, like, I should have watched or seen this by now. So it's kind of my own fault. So I guess there is really, like, I think there is, like, a statute of limitations on it.
I think, yeah, I just think, like, people, or the definition of spoiler should be narrower than what people make it out to be.
Yeah, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to market it all. If, yeah. You know. Because it's like, this is a spoiler.
I think spoilers should be more narrowly defined. And that would be, I think that would be the best way. Mm-hmm. Tekken? Yes? No?
Tekken's all. Tekken's, I mean, no go on everything.
I guess you could get into like subcategories of spoilers, but I'm still just like against them, like in general across the board. So I don't know.
Completely blind everything.
Because there's a lot of times when you see a trailer for a movie and like, the best parts are in it. Mortal Engines, because I saw that and it had the best parts in the trailer. So yeah,
really? I would say that is just poor trailer making then.
I just thought to say,
or maybe like, poor filmmaking. It's like your cool parts all fit in a 2-minute trailer.
Exactly. Like, it's not the best parts, but just like, you know, there's like stuff in the trailer, and you're like, I wanted more of that, and it wasn't more of that in the movie.
So yeah, that's poor filmmaking.
No, that's the trailer. I think it set the wrong expectations.
Given how. Yeah, but I mean, the whole point of the trailer is supposed to set the expectations.
Like, it's supposed to set the wrong expectations?
No, I meant like it's supposed to set like the it's supposed to set the right expectations, but I'm just saying like, so it's like your movie should be, you know, what you're like representing in your trailer. So I mean, and it's kind of like bad on both ends. It's like poor filmmaking and poor trailers, because like, well, one, you promised me one thing that you didn't deliver on, and then it's like, you shouldn't be marketing this to people if you are not going to actually, you know, do it. So I think it's just poor all around on that one.
That's sad. I guess I won't see that one now until video.
Because I was actually kind of interested in that when I read like the background on the novel series. I was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool, actually. But alas, it sounds like I could hold off until Netflix has it. So there goes that. Thank you, Tekken, for biting the bullet on that one.
But it was still pretty fun. Yeah, I guess that's the discussion on spoilers. Let us know what you think on our various places.
Spoiler alerts, we couldn't agree.
We could not. Let's go briefly through the news, since there's stuff we want to play, other things we need to do. So,
I haven't stopped playing, so.
In that case.
Well, that wasn't a problem.
There's stuff I want to do. Starting off, we learned this week that Metro Exodus on PC is no longer coming to Steam, and it has become an Epic Game Store exclusive.
Now, that was an interesting... Well, I think it's for a year.
Yeah, but, it was an entire exclusive, but still, yes, nonetheless, that is ridiculous.
That's still an interesting little thing, because, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit when we first heard about the whole Epic getting its own store thing, but it's like, that is kind of a interesting move, because it's like, already you can see some a developer like, oh yeah, this seems like a good idea for us in terms of, you know, what we want to do with our game and our marketing and everything and whatnot, because it's like, we already know that Epic has, you know, their Fortnite money going, so it's like people are, it's like, can Epic do the same for me? So, and then I think Tropical mentioned before that the developers get a better cut for if they do the Epic Store as well. So I mean, for that kind of thing, it's like you have more incentive to do stuff. So it's like Epic is hot right now, so it's like you have that on top of the fact that you get more money from the game you made. So it's like, well, I mean, this seems like a no-brainer. We should be doing this in the first place. Like, why are we even thinking about
people who only use Steam like me, and they want to buy your game on PC and it's not on Steam?
Well, it's kind of really crazy. So, yeah, one of the crazy parts about Metro Exodus is that it was available for pre-order on Steam. It had a Steam page and everything, and now they've taken that page down, and they had to notify everyone, hey, if you pre-ordered it already, like, that's fine. Like, it's going to be honored on the Epic Game Store and, you know, DLC and all that stuff. But if you have yet to purchase it, you can't purchase it anymore on Steam until maybe sometime after February 15th of next year.
Enjoy.
So, this is not the first game to do this. Like, The Walking Dead Final Season was originally on Steam. Now it's no longer on Steam. The Division 2 is also going to be not on Steam. It was up for pre-order, but only on, like, Ubisoft's own store. But still, it's just like, there's a lot of games becoming Epic's Game Store exclusives. And, yeah. In this instance, it's kind of weird because, like, so Steam, like, Valve apparently did not know about this until very recently. Like, it was, like, very short amount of time between when it was, when they found out about it and when it was announced. And THQ Nordic, which is the parent company of the publisher Deep Silver, who's publishing Metro Exodus, like, they're kind of distancing themselves from this decision. And I'm not really sure why. I mean, maybe it's because everyone is review bombing the Metro games on Steam. It also feels like, you know, it was already on Steam and now they're, like, taking it away. And so that generally is a more upsetting thing that you can do. So maybe they don't want any backlash on that. Yeah, because they basically said, oh, that's a Deep Silver and Koch Media side. And they're like, we're like sister companies. And so we don't have anything to do with that. And we haven't made any decisions about our games, you know, but we're not saying that they won't be timed exclusives in the future. But yeah, who knows?
I mean, it doesn't really affect me since I don't play on PC as much. But if I did, it would just make me annoyed because it's kind of feeling like the console space where it's like, this game's here, this game's not here, this game's here for this amount of time. This game, you can get here, but you might be able to get here later. It's like, that you know, PC gaming is, like, supposed to be more simpler and not as bad. But then, you know, they do go and do this, and it's like, dude, this is just an example. Like, why am I going to stick to consoles? Because I don't have to worry about this, and it's just another headache I don't have to worry about. It's like, I want to play something on Steam, I get it on Steam. If I want to play something super old, I'll go to GOG. And those are the two I use, good old games and Steam, and, like, that's it. It's like, if it's not in those two, I don't really care. My computer probably can't run it. And, like, effing video cards are so expensive now, I can't even really get in on the upgrade action. So it's, like, not really worth it to, like, be my trouble to, like, even go through that. So it's like, I'm just, like, over the whole Epic versus Steam thing and whatever. So, I mean, PC gamers, I'm sure there's, like, going to be some eventual resolution here where, like, Steam's like, okay, we're going to drop our revenue cut and you can get more money. Happy, everybody. And then, you know, hopefully. And then hopefully that happens. If not, whatever. So I'll just get the PS4 ports. It's whatever.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, so that's that. Next was there's free DLC coming to Resident Evil 2 February 15th. Apparently it's like What If Stories titled No Time to Mourn about the gun shop owner. Runaway about the mayor's daughter, and Forgotten Soldier about some soldier. Basically, these are people who did not originally escape Raccoon City in the original RE2 back on PS1. And I guess now they get their chance, and it's up to you because you get to play it.
Dun dun dun. No pressure.
No pressure. Pretty neat though. That seems like pretty significant DLC that they're for some reason decided not to sell. So, yay! That's great.
I mean, it's not the first time they've done stuff with their games. So, outside of like Street Fighter and their fight money thing, but it's like with Monster Hunter, they've been supporting it with free DLC.
Next up, Namco Bandai, Bandai Namco, that's what they call it, have revealed a new Dragon Ball action RPG.
Yes! It's called
Project Z right now.
And I saw the trailer for this, and I was like, I cannot wait to walk around the Capsule Corp area or the common or the whatever house and like all the different locations. It looks so cool.
I've actually been waiting for something like this for the longest. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it multiple times on Twitter, but it's like a Dragon Ball RPG is just like, I'm like, why has this not happened yet?
I think that's why I like Budokai 3 so much, is like you got to fly around and like actually go to the fights in the story mode. I think, if I remember correctly. I mean, it wasn't an RPG, but it was like, you know, you got to explore freely through the universe, which is
that's
cool.
One of the things I asked for like the Naruto games as well. Once I played, I forgot which one I played, but they had like a kind of like an exploration mode or whatever that you kind of run around in. And it's like, oh, this is cool. I wish there was like an RPG like this with this universe, but alas, nothing. But Dragon Ball's finally getting one, so suck it, everybody else. Suck it.
I guess we don't really know anything about it too much, except it looks awesome. And apparently it's being developed on Unreal by CyberConnect 2, which is the studio that did all the Ninja Storm Naruto games
as well.
Oh yeah. Back even further back, the Dot Hack games. So it should look really good, at least. So, yeah, it's scheduled for 2019 sometime. PS4, Xbox One, and Steam. Still got that, Steam.
It's funny because it's temporary.
Nintendo.
Oh my
gosh!
I just thought of something in the article. Sorry to interrupt you, but like, what if like at E3 there shows like a bunch of like games that are shown, and it's like at the end coming to Epic Games Store, and like no Steam on it on the end on the logo? That'd be insane.
End of Steam.
The defection.
Dun dun dun.
I mean, they still have stuff on them to sell. They're just not getting a new product in, you know.
So last week, I think it was, Nintendo announced that Metroid Prime 4, which they announced at E3 2017, they've announced that it was not doing so well, and they've decided to restart from scratch.
Start over.
With a different studio. So they never announced who was making Metroid Prime 4, but people say it was Bandai Namco. Which is not too strange, because they work together on Smash Brothers and some other stuff. But yeah, they're giving it back to Retro Studios to handle the reset. So now we have... I mean, we didn't know when it was coming out before. We still don't. But it will be later than the unknown date we did not know.
Even later, because they had to restart from scratch.
It's one of those situations, like, I mean, one, it's nice that they at least told fans this, so it's not like people were waiting all this time and they're like, where's Metroid Prime 4? Where's Metroid Prime 4? And just like, so turns out we started development from scratch all over again and we didn't tell you guys. Sorry about that. But yeah, that happened. But it's like, at least this way, people kind of like know or have like an idea of the status of it, so it's like, okay, so it's probably going to take a little bit longer so I can stop bothering them about it, but now I can worry about getting excited about something else for the time being, because it's probably going to be a while before this happens. So
yeah, this is like a reverse on the Diablo Immortal or whatever, where it's like they came out and told us something that was important that we wanted to hear, that had to do with the development of something that we're looking forward to. And I'm glad they were as transparent as they were about it. And they're just like, yeah, whatever, dude, we're starting from scratch with the team that made the trilogy of the awesomeness that, you know, is Metroid Prime Trilogy. So be happy and look forward to it.
They could have just let the game come out terrible and be like, well... Yeah, doesn't matter. We got our money because
you definitely bought it. Exactly. We called it Metroid Prime 4 for a reason.
You bought it. So it's like, haha, you fell for it. So
it also gives you something to look forward to, because they said Retro Studios was involved, and since they made the first three, it's like it's no longer you're not like speculating of like, oh man, who's working on it, who's helping them out. And then in the video they said like a collaboration, I think, between like the people already developing it at Nintendo and them, so that's good to know. It's like they have the ideas and then they'll just make the game and it's gonna work out. So, yeah.
So, yes, while it's sad that it's probably going to take a bit longer, at least you know it's in capable hands. So
I'll just have that be like the third strike that tells me I should have not bought my Switch when I did. So I'll just keep regretting that from last year until I finally play it.
And also probably because it may actually come out towards the end of Switch's lifetime. So it's like, well, we have a new console coming out. So enjoy the last hurrah. Enjoy the last hurrah. Unless they're announcing a Pikmin game. They owe me a Pikmin game.
We talked about GameStop possibly getting a buyer last week or last time we recorded. And now we know that that's not happening because nobody is interested in buying GameStop. Their financials are, I guess, poor. So
crap is what it is.
Are they just going to like keep losing money until they go bankrupt? Is this the stage that they're in now? Are they the new Sears?
That's what it sounds like. Because, I mean, I guess eventually, I mean, it's probably not going to be anytime soon. Because, I mean, I'm sure they have enough money to keep, like, stuff open, like main stores and everything. But it's probably going to eventually just going to come to the point where it's like, all right, we are basically just leaking money. So we kind of have to cut our ties. Unless they're going to make, like, some kind of, like, radical or dramatic shift in their business practices that save them. So, I mean, if that does end up happening, then it's like, okay, they still exist, but it's going to be in a radically different form than their current one. So I guess it would kind of depend on what their plan is after this, because whoever's like in charge is, they could possibly just be like, yeah, we're going to let this die and just ride it out until it's over, kind of thing. Or
they'll let go. That's usually how it goes. It's like, you know, Blockbuster, Shark City, Toys R Us, Sears. It's like none of them really recovered. And it was just like, yeah, this is this bad headline. And then just like a series of bad headlines. And then they're bankrupt and they're gone. It's like, that's kind of how it goes. So it's like, I don't see how they come back from this because nobody else has. So good luck with that, GameStop.
So it is going to be interesting to see how the next, I guess, year plays out for them, and then we'll know for sure where they stand. Because I mean, if they already lost out on the whole buyers thing, that means soon enough something's gonna have to change, or like Tekken said, it's gonna go the way of the Blockbusters and the Toys R Us's, where it's just like, all right, you guys remember when that game store used to exist? It's like, yeah, I remember when we had to go to like physical stores to get our stuff, and now it's like, what was it called again?
Back in my day, had a pre-order game. Didn't pre-order game, you had to buy a used copy for $5 less, because all the used copies they wouldn't sell you, because you won't guarantee. I'm gonna take it.
Basically, yes, that.
They say you get something with a pre-order, you think it like 5 things of that. You'd be like, oh, I get this with my pre-order. And they'd be like, oh, no, you don't. And I wouldn't get my thing with my pre-order. I'm like, I'm never pre-order again. But there's no other game, another place to pre-order at. And I was like, ah, fine. Take my money.
Yes. Just like that. Old Tekken is very accurate in his statement.
Oh, man. I remember, like, the rage I had when, like, Metal Gear Solid 3 came out and it had, like, the subsistence bonus disc and I didn't get one. And I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, that's one of the things too, because like a lot of times when you pre-order for them, you don't always get the pre-order like.
Oh yeah, Archie, did you stare down the clerk at your GameStop to get your thing?
Huh?
Did you seduce them or like dance or whatever?
Oh no, I completely forgot about it. Sorry, there was some really obnoxious customer in there when I was picking up Kingdom Hearts, and I was like, oh gosh, I'm RPG, going to kill somebody today.
You could push the advantage and be like, yeah, well, guess what? You've got double trouble because I'm angry too.
Oh no, he wasn't. He was annoying me. Oh. His existence was annoying me because like he was like very loud and just, I was just like, oh God, if you don't just shut up, just shut all of the ups. I don't want to. And he's just being very obnoxious. And then like the, like, and like, I was trying to buy my game, and then he was like asking these stupid questions, and he was just being loud. And then when the clerk was giving me my Kingdom Hearts copy or whatever, he's like, "Oh, what version is that?" I was like, "Sir, if you don't leave me alone so I can get my game and just get out of here, I am going to like commit a murder, and then I'm not going to be able to play Kingdom Hearts because I'm in jail. So, you know, get away, go do something else. You picked the wrong day to do this crap." So I was just like, okay, let me get my game, get out of here, and then just like go on with my life, because I am going to do something illegal today, and I don't want to because I kind of have to play this game. So so I completely forgot.
Well, good to know that the insides of GameStops and some of the people that shop with them are still
dumpster fires. Yeah, they are still dumpster fires, which is probably why they're going to go bankrupt this year.
Oh my gosh. I just remembered this anecdote I have from when I was getting, I just remember, I'm going to tell it because we're talking about GameStop. When I went to the ghetto GameStop in our city to get, I think it was Tetris Effect or Monster Hunter World, because they're on sale there for super cheap. And I was getting my girlfriend and my nephew coffee. And then, well, it was like the closest one. That's why. Or the other closest one to me that I usually go to, like, didn't have any. And so I had to go to the ghetto because it's like the next closest one. But anyway, like, I'm going in there. I'm like on my way out. There's like this car in the parking lot. Oh, and it's like some dude's like, not necessarily like heckling me, but he's just like saying someone else's name to me, and I'm like, am I about to get shot? I was like, am I about to get shot right now and die?
Is this how I die?
I just like didn't say anything, got my car and drove away. I was like, I'm never going to this GameStop ever again. I'm not going down to the ghetto GameStop ever again. That was too close. That was, that's the red line for taking some dude saying somebody else's name. They thought that could have been you, Tekken. That could have been someone else.
He's like, yo, Junebug! Junebug!
I was like, what? In my mind, I was like, what the hell?
Oh my gosh.
That's
not an adult.
Is this how people get shot?
Basically, yes.
I was like, just don't look and don't acknowledge. Don't look and acknowledge. Just get in the car.
Just walk straight ahead. Don't make eye contact. Don't do it.
And I'm like, should I have called the police? I don't know.
Should I call?
That's weird.
If you that, the answer is probably yes. So.
Like, they weren't exactly propositioning me for drugs or anything, but that was super.
Well, because you didn't respond.
Yeah, that's what Murray thought. Was like, was that a drug? Did he think I was his regular customer? Like, what just happened?
It's like, you haven't bought from me in a while. You found somebody else? It's like, sir, I don't know you. I don't know what's happening, and I don't like this.
I was like, do I have a doppelganger? Do I have a doppelganger that does drugs?
This sounds like the premise of a movie or a video game.
I was like, yep, I'm never coming to this game. Stop again.
It's probably for the best.
And like, funny fact, the only other time I've gone to that one was when I was trying to get the Game of the Year edition of Fallout 3 for like super cheap. Time. Nobody else had it, and that, I had to go to that one too. Ban ever again, so yeah.
Wow.
Not just terrible on the inside, but
on the outside as well. Just one big old dumpster fire.
Oh, all right. Epic Games, they announced that blind loot boxes are going away in Fortnite's Save the World mode. There used to be these llamas that you could buy for real money, but you had no idea what was inside of them. And I guess the crackdown on loot boxes as gambling is working, because Fortnite, one of the biggest things around, is getting rid of them. Instead, now the V-Bucks loot boxes get X-rayed mode, so you see exactly what's inside. And so, you know, they had to change some things, like you can't buy more than one at a time now, because they need to be able to show you each one. And you get a free one each day now. But yeah, like, this is good. This is a win. Hopefully other people have to cave. Like, I guess like FIFA did something too recently, Whereas before, EA was very defiant. Like, this is not gambling. And
they were
in Dota 2, they also changed it. So this is good. This is ultimately good. And finally, PlayStation Plus news for the month of February. So, unfortunately, this is the last month for PS3 and PS Vita games. That means that after these, there's going to be no more as part of the PS Plus lineup. So this last collection of four games will be available for a few more days than usual. It'll go till March 8th rather than March 5th.
My birthday!
Yay! The PS4 games for this month seem to be, I think this is maybe the first time or maybe the second time that both games are or were box games. For Honor and Hitman the Complete First Season.
What do you mean box games, Shuffle?
Like games available in retail stores kind of
yeah,
thing.
Like
some of them are usually bigger, digital.
Bigger games basically.
Ew.
So maybe that is what we have to look forward to now that the number of games is going down.
Although now I don't have to buy Hitman because
yes. Technically you already bought it.
I can torture myself for free.
The rest of the instant game collection for this month or February, the next month, Dive Kick PS3 is cross by with Vita. Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots on PS3.
You get bites on your PS3 for that one.
Gun House for PS Vita. It's a cross-buy with PS4. And Rogue Aces on Vita, cross-buy with PS4.
Well, at least Rogue Aces. At least it went out with the MGS4 classic.
It's yeah, pretty good. And then also cool, the online storage space for PS Plus members is going from 10 gigabytes currently to 100 gigabytes starting sometime in February.
Now you have all of the bytes, all of them.
It is insane how big save files have gotten.
It's true.
I looked at my hard drive or one of my hard drives the other day and it's like 3.7 gigs. Mini. Of saved data.
What?
It's like... And then I look at my PlayStation Plus. Like, when you go to the PlayStation Plus part of your menu, it shows you the percentage of your online storage that's used. Mine is at 71%.
Jeez.
That's like 7 gigs of saved data. I think it... Cloud storage started at 1 gig, I think, right? Back in the early days of PS4, and then they increased it to 10.
I don't remember because I didn't really use it all that much.
Oh, really?
Because you like to buy like 50 bajillion games at once, and it's just like, well, because you were always just like, oh no, I ran out of space. Like every time we podcast, he's like, guys, I had to buy a new hard drive because I ran out of space.
I had to delete stuff to get Kingdom Hearts on my PlayStation. So yeah. For me that's good. I feel like if they're increasing it for all members, then either they're trying to sweeten the deal now that it's losing some parts, or you know, people actually are hitting that 10 gig limit.
Yeah. Cause I mean, at this point in the console's life, it's probably like a lot of stored stuff on there now. So they're like, here, have some space. Have some space.
Can't imagine. Like, I don't know what any of that stuff is. I haven't looked at it ever.
You might want to do that?
Like, now that they have the option where you can just pull up for the game that you're looking at. Like, there was a time where you couldn't do that. You had to go into the list of everything in your online storage to find the save file you need to download. But now you can just go to the game and then hit options and say upload, download, save data. And so I never see the complete list. So I have no idea why I have 7 gigs of save data on the cloud.
Jeez.
But yeah. So yeah, that is my news. Was there anything else this week that we saw that was interesting?
No. Not that I can think of anyway.
Not that I can think of either.
Cool. In that case.
Did Days Gone have a release date before?
It did. It
did. But I think it got moved,
April,
didn't it?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was initially the whole, like February.
But then again, I think we just didn't. We had the release date for that too, didn't we? Or did we?
Wait, which one?
Mortal Kombat.
It did. Like, they announced a release date when they announced the game.
Ew, okay, never mind. Because they had, like, the reveal thing, so. Huh.
Was that? Yeah, I guess we did get to see gameplay finally. Oh, Do you think the fatalities are, like, too much?
No. They're kind of the same.
The whole point of the game, anyway, is to have over-the-top fatalities. Like, that's, like, the draw.
Yeah, like, you would think that, I don't know, you would think that ripping a guy's face off is maybe too much, but then the way it's presented, it feels like it's beyond too much. It's like, it's so far that it's not horrifying anymore. It's just, like, kind of hilarious.
You were desensitized. Too many years of Mortal Kombat has desensitized you.
You think that's it?
Yes. Yes, it was.
I mean, I think it was just at the point of the last one where I just like thought it was like just gross in general. So I'm just like, it's gross still. So
I'm just like, I guess because I see it from the viewpoint of like somebody had to come up with this and make it. And it was like, that guy must have, you know, described it to the team, and then they were just like all laughing.
That's what I was thinking too, Chadwick. I was like, after all these years, like, how can they keep coming up with like new ones? Like, yeah. Why do they just like use the old ones? Like, why do they have to like keep trying to top themselves on something so ridiculous?
I think it's like, it's probably, they have probably a lot of fun coming up with them. It's like, oh yeah. Pulls the blood out of her, and then the blood turns into spikes, and then he stabs her through the eyes and the chest, and it's like,
that's what I thought too. Like, everything, I was like, they must be like super immature or something. Just like,
either that or just they have a lot of problems.
Yeah,
in their lives.
Yeah, I suppose I could also imagine the boardroom where it's like dark and candle lit, and they're all like, yes. And finish then her him. Eye comes out the back of her head.
It's like, it's not gory enough. Make it worse. Make me feel it.
And rip out the heart. Yeah. And then eat it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, God, yes. Yeah, the developers over there are probably weird. So there's that.
Well then, I guess that is it. Thank you for watching. Check us out in all of the places that we are at. YouTube, Twitter, aimlesspodcast.com, and Twitch.
Anything to say before we sign off, RPG?
Kingdom Hearts is here.
Anything to say before we set off Tropical?
I do want to play more of that.
Okay, so yeah, until you hear or see from us again, Aimless Babble Z, and we're now setting off. Enjoy second Christmas, everybody.
I have to face my fears.
Yay!